Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
I just wait for IO9 or Slashfilm to do the work for me and actually take the stills from the trailer and then analyze them.
They do do that, but this is how bad it is. I don't want to wait that long. And only for the Star Wars.
You are a true fan, sir.
The Star Wars
You are the purest
son,
fan.
Let me... Oh, what I did with episode
how
one.
How long did those articles take to come out?
A day.
Yeah.
Yeah, less than 24 hours.
17 minutes.
I can't wait that long. I was at my parents' house when Star Wars Episode 7 came out. And
the trailer.
Yes,
not the
trailer.
Movie. Yeah.
as far as I'm concerned, the movie starts with the first teaser, and then it's 2 years of watching the movie, and then seeing if it actually comes out the way that I think it should. And it never did so far.
Has any movie met your expectations in that regard?
Three. I'd say episode three did.
Episode three.
Oh, just okay. But it doesn't have to be Star Wars.
Oh shit. Terminator 2.
Die Hard 7.
Is there 7 yet? We're at 6, right? Are we at 6?
Oh, okay. Die Hard, Die Harder, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Live Free and Die Hard.
A Good Day to Die Hard?
A Good Day to Die Hard. So we're at
Die Hard Balboa.
we're at 6. The next one will be 6.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, there are more Fast and Furious films now than there are Die Hard.
Yeah, there are.
Did you see the trailer for 7?
Oh my god.
Fuck, holy shit.
I guess I'm driving this car out of the tower because it's awesome.
Because it's awesome. Whatever. The Rock with the giant minigun. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of a weird contradiction in phrase, but, you know, running around with the minigun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay, so what were we specifically.
Oh, by the way, Tony Jaa is in that movie.
Oh, yeah, intro. Full of Sound Fury. Blah, 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 blah. I'm Cyrus. He's Ariel.
Yeah.
And he's
I'm Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
Hello, America.
Keyshawn Xavier. Lest we forget.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't you dare forget it.
Get out of my head, Key.
Keyshawn Xavier Skywalker.
Now, don't hyphenate.
No. That was middle name, motherfucker.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no.
Oh,
it's all one word.
Right, fair enough.
I thought
you
were going to say, oh, it's all one word. Xavier Skywalker.
More like supercalifragilistic. No, that's all right. Sister Mill. Okay, that works. John X Skywalker. All right,
but not the young looking Skywalker, the old about to die Skywalker,
soon to be the
so
blue young
dying,
ghost.
So when
Skywalker
are you tell us
with
to
a vengeance?
Eventually, you just be the young blue ghost.
So now again. I'm picturing us cremating you in a forest.
It's a pyre.
It's
a pyre.
No, that's
right. True.
So
and
cooler.
There's fireworks.
Yeah,
so that's
it's
pretty
cooler.
Cool.
And,
look,
but there's,
I'm
but
the
there's
one
Ewoks.
I work for. I'm sorry.
Aren't there Ewoks in that scene? Are there Ewoks in that
oh,
scene?
Oh, yeah. They celebrate the love.
Yeah. So that
I
takes, it, that takes
that.
It down a notch.
Wait,
oh, yeah. And Keyshawn
when they,
is dead.
When they put Darth Vader in the pyre.
There are not Ewoks in that goddamn scene.
That's what I'm asking. You're the purest fan, so you should be able to say it.
I know. I love the thought of Luke. Scorching his father,
an Ewok
with tears going by, and in the background, yep,
Lucas digitally
no,
added
exactly.
them.
That's where I was gonna go. In the Blu-ray, single tear down with his hair.
Oh, and then Wicket comes up and licks it from Luke's face.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yep.
That went from dark to dirty, and not
Jesus.
In a good way.
All
right, so there are no Ewoks, at least. That helps.
It's all around it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. It's like a private scene, right? He's like by himself.
Celebration.
Solemnly,
goes over here.
There are
solemnly burns his father.
Yeah, but that ain't the last time that you're going to see that location.
Okay, he's already throwing shade on the spoilers for episode 7.
Interesting. All right.
I didn't spoil shit.
I did read that Lucas... This should be a... This is not a spoiler. They did not use any of my ideas.
George Lucas, yeah.
I think... Yeah. I suspect that's probably how that would play out, George. I'm sorry.
Damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was reading... I think the source was Mark Miller, actually, of all things. That, No, it was Miller, because he and Hamill just made a flick. Kingsman. That's carrying it up, evidently. And they...
Is that out?
It comes out next week.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's out in the UK already.
Right.
But I guess he's let slip that prior to the acquisition, Lucas was already developing it.
Yep.
Kingsman?
No.
Oh, no. Episode 7.
Star Wars. Episode 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yep. He was working
on it. And then that went right in the fire.
Yeah.
Well.
With Keyshawn.
Solemnly.
No tears over that script, yeah. I'm sure. But, I'm tired of beating up on George Lucas. We got a bunch of good films from him. He got old.
It's so, fun. Patton Oswalt wrote a book, Silver Screen Fiend, that came out last month, January. He talks about, in that film, sort of, it's semi-autobiographical, I would say. I haven't read the book myself, but from what I've read about the book, he writes about how he was literally obsessed with film, and he was watching multiple films per day. It was like an OCD level type of obsession with film. And he said that he was watching a lot of movies and like reading a lot of criticism and like meeting with friends. He was criticizing films and he was so obsessed with it that like, it was actually, this is a George Lucas connection. Stay with me. So he was like railing on the prequel films. And then he realized, wait a minute, you know, I can talk all the shit that I want about George Lucas and how, all of the mistakes he made. But he made a movie. And then he said that that was like one of the critical moments that like spun him out of his obsessive spiral with film. Is that the dude made something and Patton Oswalt had never made a movie. So he's like, the guy, at least for all his faults, he fucking put something out there. And he had never, and Patton Oswalt had never done that. And that break like kind of signaled something to him. And I think that's worth, you know, say what you want about George Lucas, but he at least made shit.
It takes tremendous chutzpah to put art out in the world.
Yeah. Better, or good or bad, you know. So, whatever.
Yeah,
props to George Lucas for that. I just thought that was interesting perspective.
The reason that was on my mind was all the hullabaloo about the girl Ghostbusters that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
People losing their shit over that. It's like, okay, so if the movie's bad, well, who gives a shit? Like,
hey, but we're right back. We're spiraling into territory from the last episode with this discussion.
I know it.
Look, yeah.
I'm sad because it's a revamp.
It's a reboot, you mean?
Yes. Oh, you wanted a sequel.
Look, they perfectly teed it up where when they march out of the bank and he pats Ray on the shoulder and says, don't worry, everybody has three mortgages these days. He says, just the franchise rights alone are going to make us a fortune. Something along those lines. Franchise.
It's pretty close.
Franchises.
Yeah, they could, yeah.
They're franchises. The Ghostbusters could be sitting in Maui for
That's
all we
point.
Care. Egon, it's a franchise. They're opening up
they
a new one
Chicago.
Wherever the hell they
can
want.
Do it
Chicago,
in LA.
Anywhere.
They can do it anywhere.
Yes, they could have Ghostbusters movies forever.
Ghostbusters colon.
Yeah.
Blank.
Exactly.
Sex crimes unit.
Yeah. You beat
why?
Me. God
damn it. Why are we doing this again?
It's kind of like
about sex crime
special victims unit.
Doom, doom.
No. There's like, speaking of victims, there's a Slimer statue that, I don't know if you guys seen this,
I'm
gross.
I'm terrified of the segue.
Is the ghost the victim, or is there a ghost victim from another ghost, or is it a person that's
don't
been victimized
so
by
the Slimer
ghost?
Statue has,
these
you know,
are important
has to have Slimer, like, suspended, right? So, like, you need to have, like, Slimer floating somehow. So they have, like, ectoplasm that, like, makes part of the stand of the figure, of, like, the statue, the Slimer that they sell. But all of the ooze comes out of his ass. It looks like he's getting just reamed with ooze. It is terrible. If you look at it from the front, it looks like a really cool figure.
Well done, Ken.
And then when you turn around, it's like Hot Toys or something like that. When you turn it around, you look from behind, you're like, holy shit, I did not want to see that.
It just reminded me, they used to sell ectoplasm. Like,
yeah,
they
used to have
it. Unironically.
Yeah. It was like,
here's some snot for Christmas.
Yeah, some snot.
Well,
basically.
Don't you remember the very first toy? Well, okay, I'm going to be dating myself. I can't. Am I the oldest
go
one in the room?
You
are.
Probably,
it's okay,
though. Go for it. Do it.
No one has to be.
Okay,
do
so
it.
The first time that they actually had that.
We'll burn you a pyre later.
That ectoplasm. Now, the internet can prove me wrong, but again, this was 8-year-old Keyshawn. The first available ectoplasm wasn't called ectoplasm. It was actually with Hordak's slime pit. You guys remember this?
I do remember. Yeah.
He-Man.
Later
generations of He-Man. Yeah. And Skeletor was not badass enough. They made Hordak. And Hordak had a slime pit, had a claw that would come up through your crotch. Or He-Man's crotch. How you use the claw.
Can you imagine little boys like sitting there and there's a claw that comes out of their crotch?
Exactly. It would come up and hold He-Man up against
the claw. It was a more innocent time.
And there was a skull over the top. And you would pour the slime and through that skull.
I remember this.
And then it would come
over He-Man.
Now later, and not much later, it's almost the same damn year. The
same company probably,
that
right?
These like people, whoever that created this crud, was like, oh, Ghostbusters, thank you, we're going to make millions.
Yeah.
And then they, over there, and sold it as ectoplasm.
Before you leave the Hordak, what the hell was this thing called?
Hordak Slime Pit.
Of course.
You can Google the motherfucker.
How does this not ruin your toys?
The slime?
It did. Yeah. It would get in everything, and it would get hard and like boogery. And
I would,
and particularly with the He-Man that had like the arm that kind of went inside the socket, you know.
And you know what that is, Sean? I'm gonna throw some science at you. Boogers are congealed slime. That's what they are.
Yes, boogery.
It's a discharge.
It's a metaphor.
What a terrible plan.
What are you kidding? You see, then you have to buy more He-Man.
There you go.
It's business time.
That's right. Very good.
Are you Googling Hordak slime?
No, I'm not. I'm already familiar with
you. Oh, okay. All right. You know.
So when Star Wars Episode 7 comes out, can we expect some kind of slime stick?
Egon, your mucus.
I remember.
Whatever the new hut is. Is there another surviving hut family member that has their own slime pit? Keyshawn, you're the mega fan. Is there a surviving hut after Jabba dies?
No.
No. They're all dead. No huts.
No. Comma. Huts.
Okay. I see the subtext there.
There's not one.
Okay. All right.
We got 100 huts. Star Wars Episode 7, 100 huts.
The 100 hut slap.
Have y'all heard? That the news came out that what's his face? Mel Brooks says that he's going to approach Rick Moranis to do another Spaceballs movie.
What?
The Search for More Money.
I'm
so tickled. Y'all haven't heard this.
The number of prayers that I've emailed.
Yes! Oh, I can't wait.
To. But Moranis is like film retired, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
you understand that's the big story here, right?
Yeah, it's all of the above. It's all of the above. It's a present to my face. It's going to be great. I don't care.
That's the episode I think so far. Like a present to your face.
He can make a horrible Spaceballs. It'd be even funnier. He just called it a prequel.
It writes itself.
It does. It just
yeah.
If it was bad, even better. Just call it a prequel.
I do like the cast that it's being posited for this, for the Girlbusters game.
Girlbusters? Yeah, it looks like a really strong cast.
Are they calling it Girlbusters?
Or just call it Ghostbusters. They're Ghostbusters.
Oh, well, just to differentiate. Thing girl Ghostbusters is just...
Make that up, or did...
Oh, yeah.
I thought maybe...
Didn't exactly pull a grade of muscle doing it, though.
That's amazing. Show me how.
It's what I do. Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, it's some good shit.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I mean, this cast is strong.
If you type in Hordak slime, Google knows.
I don't know, to put pit
at the end. It knows what you're looking for. Here we go. Here it is. Here we go. Oh, some kid really did a good job with that, too, because he's got...
There you go.
That is the...
This is great radio.
What is the name of that?
We're staring at this image of the Hordak slime pit, by the way.
It's a WWF manager that had the long hair and...
I'm not familiar with WWF stuff, really.
Now you dated yourself.
Damn it to hell. What was that guy?
See, now you miss Riyadh.
did you follow that stuff, too?
We have 7 podcasts where you guys go on off on it. Really? And I was just over here like, oh my god.
Now, my favorite part is look at that guy on the left there. Look closely at his back. They had stenciled in hair on this.
Yeah.
Not on all of them, just on that guy. He was hairy. His name was Zodak. Zodak was the hairy one.
He was Samoan, and you're being racist. No. I don't appreciate it.
But here's a little known fact. Zodak was the only He-Man character that went and traveled to the DC universe.
Oh, now we got DC in there.
But he really did. He really did.
Now we got DC in there.
Got Superman to go to their universe and be with He-Man.
That you're gonna say Tila.
Tila. I have carnal knowledge of Tila. What boy doesn't?
Gross.
Superman's just like all
the rest. The guy wears living the dream on the outside. There's a reason.
Wow.
But see, that's fresh slime there.
You know, oh yeah, pre-boogerism.
Well, it would get. Like,
I can't believe we're talking for several minutes on the slime.
It would become more translucent as it aged. Like Neosporin.
The Neosporin returns.
Oh,
it's the blue ghost of the Neosporin.
Oh, Hordak slime was one of the best cures for scratches and small wounds.
Sponsored by Neosporin.
We've sold at least 7 tubes of Neosporin.
7 expired tubes of Neosporin.
It wasn't expired. He's fine.
Yeah, look how much I healed. I just sprouted a nostril.
You're just like Wolverine now. Everything heals much faster. Right.
Pay no attention to the pyre we're building for him, evidently.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one mint in box.
How much?
I don't even want to know.
Again, remember the Neosporin. That shit's expired.
Yeah, it's the last thing you want. Expired fake snot. That's where you're going to be a winner.
America, you can see this image at dinosaurdracula.com.
There you go.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Speaking of dinosaurs, Jurassic World.
That I'm not excited for.
Really?
That's something we wanted to talk about.
Daredevil trailer?
Yes, thank you. God, that's why you're there.
I'm only going to say that.
Money.
I'm done. I'll see you guys later.
Don't come back. Yeah, okay. Initial thoughts. Go.
So, definitely a different tone. Isan is still showing pictures of the snot.
I'm sorry. Beast Man was just like imploring somebody to save him from the slime. Right. Please, God, help me.
It's okay to be that guy.
So Daredevil.
Yes,
definitely a different tone from other Marvel stuff, I think. I think in a good way, because Daredevil is supposed to be darker.
Well, street.
Street it's and street. Darker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hell's Kitchen, street. Hell's Kitchen nowadays is not Hell's Kitchen from the comics.
Just kidding.
Like, Hell's Kitchen in real life now is not...
We've talked about that
before. Yeah. So
Ben Grimm, Jewish gangster. Really?
Yeah. So, it's just none of that stuff fits modern day stuff, so they gotta adapt, right? But, like, I think it looked... it's just a teaser trailer, even. It's not, like, a full trailer, but I think it looks very strong. I think the production values are good. I think Vincent D'Onofrio will do a good job as Kingpin, because he's a very strong actor. I like what I saw of Matt Murdock, but it wasn't a lot to go on, but...
It's definitely a teaser.
Yeah.
I actually came away a little worried it may not be dark enough.
Really?
Yeah. Marvel has been very cognizant that they want kids to be able to watch this. And
even that? I wonder. I guess
with Daredevil, I feel like that's a mistake if that's the way they go. Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I'm confused about with Netflix is like, I mean, that they do ratings, but I don't think anybody's talked about what the rating of this show is.
Yeah. Not to my knowledge either. Yeah.
I mean, the dude at the very end of the trailer is like, you know, blood's coming out of his mouth as he's getting up out of this puddle. So that's I'm wondering, is like, is that as dark as it's going to get? Back to your point, like, is that as dark as it's going to get?
Yeah.
Or are we going to get more
but, you know,
stuff? I mean, there was a lady with a knife in her hand.
Dark.
Yeah, dark is all get out.
When it's been at its best, you know, Miller or Brew.
Yeah,
I know, Bendis. They can't have Karen Page on there and not be going dark.
Well, it depends on what version of Karen Page they decide to make.
Well, okay, I guess...
Because we're assuming from the comics, right?
Daredevil.
I would think era.
There's the Silver Age version, right? They're very lighthearted.
But
I would
make
think
a
Arrow.
Yeah.
You could do dark and not be.
Yeah.
Not kid friendly.
And swinging back around to Cyrus, like, is it if it's Arrow level of dark, is that dark enough for you, Cyrus?
Ooh.
I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious.
Super fair question. I can deal, but I would like him to go darker.
Okay.
You know, I still remember in Born Again, Daredevil.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy crap,
Karen
Born Again.
Sold Matt Murdock out for a hit of heroin.
Yeah.
And she messy messy
Arrow. Yeah, so, that's not going to happen in Arrow, that's for sure.
So, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah, did you read Born Again, Daredevil?
No, I'm just saying, I think Arrow would do that if they could
Somebody getting sold out.
Hell, they've had drug usage.
I mean, not to spoil anything from season three, but okay, there's some pretty dark.
Three episodes behind.
But you know the main conceit about Oliver and his sister, right?
Uh huh.
So you know, like the
she's a bad guy now, and
well, sort of, but like why she's
with the father and all that.
Well, okay, we can talk later, but I don't want to spoil for everybody. But like that I think the Thea route went fairly dark this season, I think, so far. But yeah, they didn't show, like, I agree that if they were going to make Born Again frame for frame, that's darker than what Arrow.
Oh, yeah, done. For Shizzle. Yeah.
If they did frame
has done
frame.
So far, yeah. But yeah,
Arrow implies a lot, but it's on network television, so it can't show everything. And, like, the main conceit with Thea, they sort of show, but they don't sort of show. Because, again, I think they have limits, and I wonder what Netflix will do. So I wonder what the rating is. I wonder.
Yeah.
Now I'm freaked out what's going to happen to Thea in the next three episodes. Last one I saw, he died.
Okay, so you know why he went to fight Ra's al Ghul, right? Because what Thea did.
Right.
So like that's pretty dark for what Thea's character is.
Yeah.
So, but they implied more than they showed.
Yeah, but I guess for me, I'm totally happy.
You live a life of the mind.
I'm
live with that.
frankly, I kind of like when people do that because it's a better narrative device.
I think it depends on the context.
Ooh, I'm using big words.
I think it depends on the context.
You can go too far, though, and shamalong the hell out of it.
Shamalong?
Yeah.
Shamalong.
That's a verb now.
Shamalong.
Yeah,
I thought you meant like shamalama ding dong. Well, we both did that.
I had a fucking Grease reference.
Wow.
Really dating ourselves now.
Yeah, I just really think they get a... You know, I love sometimes when they just leave it to your imagination because it's... It'll be better.
Best example that I can think of off the top of my head is the end of Inception.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I admired Nolan for having the brass tacks to cut before we knew.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
Like, but again, there's like this salty sweet aspect to it, right? Like, you can't have too much of one type of device or another. You have to have the right balance.
Right. You know, like, when they do, what's her name? Alias. The new Alias.
Jessica Jones?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and she goes on a date with Power
Not
Man.
And
they're going to walk into a bedroom, and the camera's going
to pull back. Oh, here we go. The age old...
The camera's going to pull back, and she's just going to stand there looking at the camera and close the door.
So
they don't show anything. Next day, she's at the hospital.
When that show premieres later this
year...
We're
all together.
When that show premieres later this year,
while we all watch it.
I want to hear in-depth analysis from you, Keisha, on
oh, I really don't.
On all of that.
leave it in your mind as to what's going to happen behind that door.
See, my mind is not going to fill in the same things that your mind is filling in.
Exactly. Things will be filled.
isn't that amazing tool that you can...
Anyway.
I got three words out before things will be filled. The title of our podcast...
I like
things will be filled.
Anyway, Daredevil trailer. So they didn't show the red costume.
How
did
you move on from that?
They did not show
the red costume.
Yes, they didn't.
He's got the black Romita Jr. version, which had red piping, I'll note, in the thing, which was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a little different than the comic version. But the brief amount of action looked good. Stick looked pretty serious and badass.
Yeah.
So that's...
That was good. They got a good actor.
If they just follow Daredevil, the Man Without Fear that Miller and Johnny did back in the early 90s, I'm in. That's what I want.
Even if they mix some of the Bendis stuff or, like, I think that...
It's called season two.
Mythology. I agree. I'm just saying there's a lot of those lawyer subplots of the Bendis run that fit really well for television, too, that they can adapt.
Yeah.
A friend of mine from high school actually is allegedly involved in the writing of that show, so I'm like... That's really cool.
You could be like checking with that asshole every day.
Just send him this
podcast.
No, I don't want to do that.
That's fair. Cannot judge you.
It's exciting, but again, you know, we'll see what Marvel ultimately does with it. But it's not too long. April 10th.
They could have just years of great stuff.
Yeah,
because. I think I said this once on Full of Sound and Fury. With the exception of X-Men, I don't think there's a richer mythology in comics than on the Daredevil. Because there's just so many good runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited.
Say what?
Yeah.
There's the not X-Men a better fan mythology in comics other than X-Men. Is Daredevil?
Yeah, I think it's for whatever random ass reason, it's had the strongest runs overall.
What, Batman?
Strong numbers. Just go by numbers, like, because I'm an engineer.
Oh, yeah, okay. Batman probably is ahead of it.
I'm just like, holy shit.
But Batman's a DC character.
And Batman's...
Oh, they don't count.
No. Marvel can't make Batman, unfortunately.
And Batman's been around longer than Daredevil, right, in terms of...
There's been more chances for
stronger runs, I think. Yeah. And Frank Miller kind of is responsible for the intensity, like the more well-known character bits of both characters.
I would argue that. Batman was around longer, but honestly, I think Daredevil did it first.
Did what
I don't think the more gritty...
Well, Frank Miller did both of them.
And he did Daredevil first.
And he did Daredevil
first. There was some gritty Batman before Frank Miller.
But Frank Miller defined that for Batman.
Absolutely.
Miller took it to 11.
But, yeah.
I'm saying is Frank Miller is responsible for both of them.
I thought you were saying, if he's around for that long, there was more opportunity.
You talking about Denny's run?
What? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But, I mean, I think just in terms of set aside the darkness of it, like, the opportunities for quality runs, if Batman's been around longer, there's just more of a chance that there have been more people that are strong writers that have been able to take a crack at that character compared to Daredevil.
Yeah.
But given that, I agree with you, Cyrus, means he's been around for a long time. But,
so old at this point, right?
But there have been lots of quality runs in that time that Daredevil's been around, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Even Mark Waid's current run is...
Yeah, it's good. I don't know what it is about that character.
I don't know.
Mostly
because they love to torture fucking torture him.
Yeah.
Like, the writers torture the shit out of him in every run.
And they've somehow managed to keep it compelling.
Yeah.
That's the impressive part.
And he sort of reboots every run, like, right? Like, they reboot him somewhere, like, either in mind or in physical location. And then they torture the shit out of him again. And then another writer comes in. And they reboot it a little bit again, and then they torture the shit out of him again, and somehow that formula works.
Yeah, they're killing it.
I don't really, I mean, people to read it.
No, man, it's good. It's good.
At least this isn't happening to me.
So if you throw Batman into this thing we just posited, I guess those are the big three, though, right? X-Men, Batman, Daredevil?
In terms of the overall quality of
of work. Because, I mean, Avengers has been around a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't get the...
But you can see it in the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, for the listeners. They're cherry-picking from the 70s and the first part of the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think Spider-Man's been around for a long time, but I don't think it has as strong a set of runs as X-Men or Batman.
They had some really huge missteps with Spidey, actually.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think, think out loud here.
Of course, yeah.
Because you got to go. I mean, it would make sense to go down like the big.
How long
big
was Walter on Thor? Walter, like I know him.
Thor was the one I was thinking. Am I so biased? It's not going to open my mouth.
There's some
because I'm too biased.
You can speak with authority here because I'm telling you, every guy within 3 years of you loves that run.
I'd say it is a greater than sign. It's my age and up, the older ones.
Yeah. guys that are...
Thor was the one that was just like, oh, shit, Thor's shown up. It's like, there's a god on the page. You know, he'd just destroy everybody.
Yeah, but that had always been that way. Simonson just nailed it, though.
Oh, yeah, but they all, even the oldest stuff with Thor was, he was steady kicking ass, and there just wasn't, I mean, it was just, you had to go like 100 comics before you found somebody that even hurt Thor. You know, they'd have situations, most of the first 100 comics, he'd lose the hammer and turn back into the other guy.
How do you make that compelling?
They did a good job of it.
That's the Superman bitch.
Yeah.
Everyone, you can't hurt him.
Well, it was more like he's a badass.
Well, but Thor always had, like, you were just saying it.
That's how they did
can turn back into a normal human because he's tied to Donald Blake.
Right.
So he has the duality that Superman doesn't have. Because once he loses the hammer, or he drops or whatever, and it turns back into the staff where he's Donald Blake, then you have human stories to tell where there's a limitation.
And that's what they would do to him half the time. It's like, he can't reach the stick.
But nowadays, Thor doesn't have that.
That's the kryptonite crush, though.
Hmm?
isn't it?
In a way, but he can choose to change.
Yeah, okay.
And he does. Like, he'll, right? Like, I don't know, I'm not a huge Thor fan, but my understanding of the Donald Blake part of it is like...
It's changed over time.
But he had a choice, right? He could, like, slam his staff down or his cane or whatever and then turn into Thor and then reverse the process.
For sure. Yeah.
So... there is a duality to the story, and you have multiple dimensions at play. Superman's just Superman. Even when he's Clark Kent, he's the same character. He's invulnerable all the time. Yeah. He can be threatened as Donald Blake, and his relationships can be threatened by Loki or whoever else, and they can fuck with that. And they've done that multiple times through multiple runs, even the semi-modern runs, like in around the Siege time period.
Honestly, it was like the late 70s, early 80s. Thor was probably at its worst time, because there was such a sci-fi kind of dark... and it went away from mythology and more towards like modern mythology. Yeah, exactly. That's what they were trying to do. And they smartly came back.
They love that, though.
Well, yeah, but then they've smartly kind of brought Thor back with the whole notion of, well, their magic seems like magic, but it's really technology that's so advanced, and which is a cool way of getting the sci-fi element to it. And, you know, they did that, but... again, it's a completely different even type of story as opposed to like the runs you're talking about that were just like, holy crap, this was great. That was great.
There aren't as many runs of Thor that are expounded upon compared
It's the Simonson one. X-Men. I think Straczynski's is pretty popular.
Uh-huh.
In between it though,
and then like name another one. Like,
but it depends by who.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
a lot of people will rave about the old stuff. But, I mean, from the get-go.
But in terms of, like, if someone was going to write an article and they'd say, these are the runs of Thor you need to read, the total number of those types of runs versus the number of Batman runs you should read that are, like, historically important are probably not as many as Batman.
What about Swamp Thing?
This is the omnibus question. Yeah. Who gets the omnibuses? It's Simon's.
That's what I was trying to sit there and go.
Yeah.
There's no during the mystery omnibus that sells well.
Right.
You're saying Swamp Thing.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think of
it's
the ones
more.
That...
it's telling more. It just is. It's just far and away the best one. That, Daredevil, good.
Daredevil, good! because, I mean, just off the top of
things
my
head... things will be filled!
Just off the top of my head with Daredevil, you got Frank Miller, his run. You have Bendis' run. Mm-hmm. You have...
which I actually don't think is that good. It's not bad, Kevin Smith's is better.
There's a Kevin Smith run. There's an Ed Brubaker run. There's a Mark Waid run that's already...
Ed Brubaker run's so good.
That's five runs of Daredevil, if you include Mark Waid.
We're forgetting someone, too.
And Ann Nocenti?
Yes, hers was good, too.
Hers was good, too. That's six runs.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of stuff in between, like a bunch of other people did.
Carl Kessel's run is not bad. It's brief, but it's good.
Jesus.
What about Wolverine?
Like, for like a quality run of Wolverine? Let's like a well-known story?
I mean, there's like that miniseries with Miller and Claremont.
Frank Miller comes back again in that one too, doesn't he?
Keith.
He was the man there for a while. Before
It's just funny how those that
Sam
shows up.
Yeah. Sam Keith had a great Wolverine run.
Okay.
I mean...
All right, I believe you. I'm going to tell you, I'm not familiar with it.
That's earlier than...
it's true.
You, I think.
Yeah. Oh, there's Weapon X. What, Barry Windsor Smith?
There's that one.
Origin's excellent.
I'd almost argue that part of the Dark Phoenix thing.
I would fold him into X-Men.
Yeah, I think he belongs in there. Okay. Put that all that in one umbrella.
X-Men is just good God.
I know there's so many runs. Yeah,
they had a lot of quality writers on X-Men.
Brendan
just announced that he's finishing his run.
With issue 600?
Yeah.
A lot of X-Men comics.
It's a lot of X-Men. That's uncanny only.
Are they going back to the original number?
For the anniversary to get to $37 bucks.
Of course. Then they'll go back to point one.
I think the worst will be $5 an issue.
Really?
That's what I'm hearing.
Fuck.
There better be a lot of pages in there.
Yeah.
We're getting God dang.
Damn.
Softback.
Well, it is Hickman, so even if it's not more pages, it'll be a shit ton of content.
There'll be a lot of diagrams and charts in there.
Yeah, you'll need them.
Yes.
I realized what Secret War was earlier this week. This is Jonathan Hickman saying, no, I'm going to show you how to do a crisis on Infinite Earths, motherfuckers.
Well, and they're like, I just envisioned the Marvel Studios executives coming and being like, look, we need, because of all these complex, here's all the complicated contracts we have, And here's, I want you to find as many loopholes as possible to bring some of these characters back. Write me a story. And he's like, I got it. I need a graph paper and a protractor.
Oh, I thought he was just going to like reach into his backpack.
Jonathan Hickman, bitch!
Pull out a 700-page manuscript. He's already got it ready.
Maybe he did.
I wrote this when I was 12 years old.
Oh, I thought you would never ask. The thing is heavy.
But he probably used a protractor and a compass.
I've been toting this around for 23 years.
Yeah. Oh, hang on my back. Oh. Yeah. It's amazing, but I got to sit down for a second.
I just wonder some of that, too. Did you guys see the trailer? Speaking of some of this, the studio stuff reminded
couldn't
me.
Bring myself
the Fantastic
it.
Four teaser trailer?
Yeah.
I did.
I liked it.
Thoughts?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Mm-hmm. Really did.
I, sure.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
I don't trust trailers anymore is my problem.
No, I mean, I think the,
you can make anything with
the look and feel.
It really is. They've gotten really good at making trailers excellent. Yeah. The one that always stands out in my mind is the trailer for the film A Man Apart.
Uh-huh.
You guys ever seen that one?
Nope.
It's a Vin Diesel flick. It's awful.
But
the trailer is badass.
The trailer is good. I distinctly recall this.
Yeah.
Because I saw the trailer many times, and then they played the film on like some TV channel one time.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks.
It's kind of like trying to be like half Rambo, half The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
It's utterly terrible.
Now, Fantastic Four, though, one thing you can get from a trailer, no matter how good or bad it is the visual style, I think.
Oh,
I think
that.
The visual style is like basically like Interstellar.
That's okay.
And I think
good.
That's pretty good. I think I think that aspect, the powers, the way that the powers that I saw, I mean, the thing is just CGI, and they should have done that in the first two Fantastic Four films. But the other powers seem not bad.
Yeah.
The one you didn't really get to see is Mr. Fantastic. Like, you don't get to see the stretching. You saw a Human Torch in there, Invisible Woman. Dude, you got to go back and do your frame-by-frame in DLC, man.
This one's not a frame-by-frame one. Human Torch. I've been burned three times.
Human Torch, Invisible
Sir,
Woman.
Sir, in the end, NCIS stands for nerd. Get on that shit.
Three of the four powers were shown, and I think that looks interesting.
I flat missed all of them. Other than seeing the thing, I didn't
see frame by frame,
powers.
Dude. I promise you'll see it there.
No,
what did you actually watch?
I watched the trailer, but I didn't see the
I don't
fire.
Know that you did. Fire is bright.
So I waited for the blog entry with the screenshots, and I'm pretty sure that Dr. Doom is also shown, but it's a little bit speculative because you don't see his face, and he's going to be the guy in the hospital bed that like talks to. All right,
I have a question. This just occurred to me, but I think it's a great question. We're heading into a pretty serious level of shit in Marvel movies.
Okay.
Where?
Ant-Man.
Where?
You're asking... I
can't wait to ask this question, because your answer's even better than you know.
I think I know where his question's going, and I'm already laughing inside.
Which one?
Is where? Fail.
No. Which one has the Watcher show up?
Oh. Gotta be near Infinity War, right? The closer you get to Infinity War,
I'm sticking with Ant-Man.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, there's serious shit happening across the board. Where does the Watcher show up go?
Guardians 2 is a potential, right? Just throwing that out as an idea. Guardians 2 is a potential because it's a cosmic film series.
The Watcher shows up.
I think that's your 3-1 Vegas odds, and I would go 5-1 with Doctor Strange.
All right, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
But I would bet the house on Ant-Man.
He's this small, and the Watcher is this big.
Only he can see him.
Part two. Who plays the Watcher?
Steve Buscemi.
Wow.
His eyes.
Oh, my God.
Now you'll never unsee that. Congratulations.
No.
Steve Buscemi as the Watcher.
As the Watcher.
In fact, that's going to be Marvel Phase 4.
2022.
Steve Buscemi.
Standalone film.
Yeah, they got
Watcher.
Very creepy hurt fast, though.
She was only 12. Steve Buscemi.
It'll be CGI, and they'll just have a voice of someone, right?
Who? I don't care.
I'm just saying, like,
it changes the
thought process, right? Like, if it's CGI versus...
What if it's just kind of like you have an actor, and then they just blow his head up really, really big?
No, please don't. What
if they go the ultimate route? Ultimate Watcher was just a statue.
Oh, okay.
You think
I was picturing Patrick Stewart, honestly. Before Steve Buscemi pushed him way out of my head.
Patrick Stewart and Steve Buscemi fighting in your head for the role of the one.
So in Cyrus' head, it's gotta be a bald man. It's just, I've got to find a bald man.
Well, isn't it a bald guy?
Well, I mean, you
if it's CGI, then it doesn't matter what they look like.
That's right. Kind of my Hugh point. Jackman can do it. Just shave his head.
Why do you have to shave his head? He's CGI.
Well, just to
have to shave his head.
To get him into the feel for the role.
Well, yeah, in all seriousness, for a second, he does have the, you know, the voice with the gravitas in it. So.
It'd be pretty fine. Ironic if he's, big if he's Wolverine. Wolverine to play the Watcher.
I'd watch that.
Bing Rhames. There's the tagline. Steve Buscemi is the Watcher. I'd watch that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if they even work that character in. I mean, presumably they would, but it's kind of a Marvel panache, right, to have the Watcher in there. It's not needed for the story, necessarily.
No.
But
it's a classic, though.
It's a classic, yeah. You know, just to have it. From,
you know. I just want to, like, you know,
yeah,
be one of the non-big ones.
They had Howard Duck in
Captain America 2 or 3 or something like that, you know, and it's like, they're about...
I think that's actually really unlikely.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if it's just like, what is the power?
But, I mean, Avengers had, like, probably a bigger planet-wide event that threatened the Earth than Cap 3 will.
It has to be Avengers 3, right?
Yeah, which is an Infinity
War.
Right? Yeah, it's got to be before Infinity War.
Yeah.
But so I think Guardians and Doctor Strange are interesting choices.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to figure out why he'd be in Wakanda. I've got.
He's just hanging out. He's just drinking a drink.
Just like, a giant
Black Panther's like fighting through, and then the Watcher's just sitting there in a restaurant, and the fight goes through.
Exactly.
He's just there.
I want the Watcher to be like in the back. He's like Forrest Gump.
No, back to the beginning of our episode here. They hired George Lucas to CGI the Watcher back into the Avengers.
In all the other ones. Just in the background.
He's the
little
Ewok
shot
of the...
If you pause it when the Hulk is smashing that thing and you look standing
Avengers
up on
Special
top
Edition.
Of one of the buildings. It'd be great. Aiden Christensen.
Wow. Oh, there's a holy crap.
Jeff Bridges.
Yes!
That's
the Watcher
good.
Abides.
Right on.
By
that's
the way,
a good
what
one.
The shit was that commercial?
Oh, the Super Bowl commercial?
What were those commercials?
That was great.
He wrote a whole album for that Super Bowl. He like the whole album of him doing music like the one he did, like the thing he did in the Super Bowl ad.
There were guys losing their kids. People didn't have legs. There was the dog that was lost.
There was the kid that would have had so much fun had he not died.
Yeah. Well, on Twitter they had...
God damn.
They were taking the Nationwide jingle and they were like, Nationwide, your child died.
Oh,
that's,
no.
That's so hilarious.
That's just... Oh, that's
terrible. Oh.
Yeah.
It's not good. I don't know.
No, but it was fun to enjoy, ironically.
I guess.
And just for the comedy.
I thought the line of the year before about the, you know, so God made a farmer. That was a little, I thought that was weird at the time. I'm like, nah, I got nothing on Super Bowl 49. Good God.
Yeah, that was depressing.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I miss Alexandria with the Doritos. Can we bring that back?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was. Not as long as the Slime Boogers, though.
It's true.
What about the Avengers? Do they have good runs?
We were just saying, like, I think 70s and early 2000s, and there's not much in between.
Bendis's run with No More Mutants.
That's House of M, which is technically an X-Men comic.
I think it's fair. You have the
Kree
Skrull
said it.
War.
Said
that's
it.
The big one from the 70s,
Kree,
right?
Yeah, Kree Skrull,
that's
well,
a big
that
one.
Would be the first one.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Sure.
But yeah, once Perez left, man, it was dark times there for a while.
That? It was the thing with the Proteus.
Wasn't
it actually?
Wasn't that also X-Men?
It hopped through all of them.
Okay.
Well, shit.
It still counts as X-Men. It's Proteus
no,
an X-Men.
It, no, but it came out through the Avengers.
Okay.
I thought.
I don't remember.
I mean, I know the Avengers found Jean Grey.
I mean,
see
the fact that you're not as Bendis.
Well,
Bendis.
Avengers Disassembled was,
pissed people off.
I loved it.
Did, but I did too. But it was kind of a last ditch Hail Mary to bring that franchise back. Now it worked.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That counts as Bendis' run.
Well, yeah,
that
was great, it's funny.
It starts. That's what
this was.
A classic Avengers story. They blew it up and started over the new roster, and they hadn't done that in forever.
Right.
And it's like, oh well, and it was all the my understanding was it was literally just Mark Miller saying at one of their retreats, why can't we just have Spider-Man and Wolverine in there because everyone likes them? And that was the genesis of the goddamn story.
I mean, hell, it worked.
So fucking obvious.
Bendis' entire run there.
It's very slow.
But that's like it compared, and then maybe
you call that a run?
I call that a run.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's just a lot of issues in a run.
Oh, well, see, I was thinking of each of them as a run.
I count that as
story arc.
As long as he was the writer, like, that's his run.
Oh.
Okay. Because there was no break where someone else wrote it.
Okay.
Building off that, you can build several movies out of that.
Oh yeah. They are.
Just like at most Daredevil runs, you can do multiple seasons of a TV show.
Oh yeah. Please God. Yeah, they could go for a while and not have any loss in quality.
Yeah. But like other than Bendis' run and maybe the Kree-Skrull stuff, there aren't other Avengers runs.
There really isn't. It's
that
amazing.
Are like, because I know Jeff Johns wrote it for a while and like no one really raves about it.
Yeah. Kurt Busiek wrote it for a while in the 90s. It was
okay. Oh, I love that. Busiek and Perez run?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was good.
Okay.
If you reread it now...
I did recently.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is the Held Up?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I liked it okay.
Yeah. Go back further than that. And then,
Oh, it's weird. Iron Man's a teenager. Black Knight, I think, is the leader of the team.
Oh, God. Don't even. Don't
Jack
even.
Of Hearts is on the team.
For me, as soon as you said Black Knight.
Yeah, right. It's like E-listers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn it to hell.
Not the best. But in the 80s, it was all about Teen Titans and X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good.
And 90s, too.
Yeah.
Like early 90s, at least. Mm-hmm. X-Men was still... So it just then you compare it to Daredevil, where it's just like this one. It's an interesting contrast.
Oh yeah, it's night and day.
You know, Avengers versus something like Daredevil.
Yeah.
Or X-Men.
Yeah, it's just weird that Daredevil is like probably the third biggest one I can think of comic property. And it's just, but
that's
it is.
Nuts.
It really is.
There are solid singular stories in so many other characters and properties, but Daredevil seems to attract.
And I think because he's not one of their biggest characters, I think they've been less afraid of breaking him.
Oh, yeah. And boy, do they, like I said, do they break
it's
him.
It's almost become his thing, then, right? It's so weird.
Boy, do they break that dude. He's in San Francisco right now. I think that one.
So that is broken,
They just moved to San Francisco. Yeah.
Well, the X-Men left there.
Yeah, they did. Marin County, technically.
Yes.
Like they were in Pacifica or something. I don't know.
Okay, I have a completely different topic I wanted to throw out there, but I think it'll be fun. But before we can do that, Keyshawn, I need you to date yourself further and tell everybody about the relevance of the Dirty Mac within rock and roll history.
Dirty Mac?
The Dirty Mac.
Oh, God.
No, it's good.
Sorry, I had to retool myself.
Yeah,
I don't even know what Cyrus is talking about. So
yeah,
hit me up. Man.
You're gonna Google it
long ago.
No, I'm gonna.
Here was a time
called the '60s.
Yeah, called the '60s, and really, this is like in the
when you were not alive.
Right, I wasn't alive then, but and I think you pitched it to me because of my musical background, but. There was a time when that swinging '60s. Think what Austin Powers was making fun of.
Okay,
and again pre VHS and pre MTV.
Okay,
so how do you see all these stars that you listen to?
Pre moon landing,
very actually
about the
right,
same time, right?
Almost the same time. Yeah.
I mean, how we see your stars, like Ed Sullivan show.
No. Well, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Unless they made their own movies.
Okay.
And,
or they're on Ed Sullivan and, or Johnny Carson. Or
right,
like
right.
That.
But there they couldn't be as high as a kite. See,
okay.
If you're making your own movie, then it's no holds barred. And well,
fair
enough. No, again, but it's the late 60s. Some holds are barred, but not many. And particularly, you know, when you're watching something like this and you're just... Everybody that was involved the people that were behind the camera and in
this
front
sounds
of it,
like a massive conspiracy. What the hell is just this?
He paints a picture.
Blazed beyond description. LSD just flowing like rain on the waters. It's and so it, with that context, the Rolling Stones
okay
made a movie.
Okay,
now when they did this,
it was called
Dirt. They got no. They got all.
I knew they made a movie,
right? They did. It was called
the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus.
Because you know.
I'm thinking of Monty Python.
The Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus.
Okay.
Now, the Rolling Stones, you know, were the host of this thing.
Uh-huh.
You got to picture that swinging 60s thing. They're all, like, Mick Jagger is dressed as a, what would you call
a
him?
Ringmaster.
A ringmaster. He's got the top hat, and he's talking in about
Mick Jagger.
More British than he normally is, okay? Because he's high. And he's like, this is a real circus. Ladies and gentlemen. And, I mean, I can't wait to show this to you when we're done with this. In America, please, Google this shit.
You'll be glad you did.
Oh, no, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
No.
Unless you love music. Because... highest kites. They got every fucking good musician of the time to be on this, and it's basically like a big tent that's just clouded with marijuana smoke. Just clouded with it. And again, everybody's high. And they all, the Who was there. They didn't have Jimmy.
Oh, Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull.
The rock flute.
That's right. Play rock flute. Man, I'm telling you, you got to be high to enjoy rock flute.
No, I like rock flute.
Oh, no, I love it. Well, you can appreciate rock flute.
Cyrus is high on life.
Well, right, exactly. I love rock flute. Happy people enjoy rock flute
okay.
because they take it for what it is.
All right.
But to be as into rock flute as these people were,
okay, that's fair.
Got to be high.
I'm waiting for the dirty high. Mac.
Okay, hang on, it's coming. I got to paint this picture of all this stuff. And there, it's just... star after star after star, then a blonde who was obviously fucking Mick Jagger because she wasn't talented enough to be there, but she's some kind of rock singer, so she was
she
on the show.
She is relatively famous.
For a second,
I thought you, when you said a blonde who's actually fucking, I thought fucking was an adjective, not a verb. I'm like, a blonde who's actually Mick Jagger.
Okay, that's the second act. Just see the picture right there on stage. That's where
Mick
Jagger comes from.
Mick Jagger disguised himself as a woman.
That's what I was
saying.
I don't know. I mean, it's already crazy enough with the rock flute. No, I didn't know what else.
Oh, no. And then, the story behind this is basically that of all the performances, the Who killed it. They were amazing what they did. It was so fucking good that with the ultimate act was going to be the Rolling Stones, but after the story is that by that point everybody was so ragged and high and stressed and beat that they just didn't give a good performance, and so the movie went in a vault.
Okay.
And only saw the light of day years later.
About 25 years later.
Right, I think. And
approximately.
PBS got a hold of it.
Okay.
And broadcast it on PBS, which is where I saw it with my father, because my father was like, have you ever seen this? And I was like, I was annoyed. I was just, what? This is stupid. What is this? That only took me until the first 10 seconds of seeing Mick Jagger. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I was just, oh, this is going to be fun. Now, in the middle of this was a band that was created just for this called the Dirty Mac.
Okay.
It is the greatest musicians of the last 100 years all on one band together. It was
the original supergroup, basically.
Yes.
This was
All
right, name them off, Keith.
This is not X-Men or Avengers, to go back to our previous thing. This was the Justice League of rock bands.
Yes, okay. This is the Justice League of rock bands. They had John Lennon singing.
Wow.
They had Eric Clapton on lead guitar.
Okay.
They had Keith Richards playing bass because Clapton is fucking playing guitar.
Yeah.
And they had the drummer from the Jimi Hendrix Experience playing drums.
damn.
Now, again, then you could argue there's other better drummers at that time, but goddamn. Okay? So, they get together and get on stage and play a blues song. But a kind of an up-tempo blues song. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you're just, holy shit. You know? It's Lennon killing it. We're playing rhythm guitar and singing. And, Eric Clapton, yeah. Just at his youth, eyes ain't even open, and just, man, you're like, holy shit.
That's one of the interesting things about the Artifact, they're all so goddamn young.
Yeah, they're young, high, and amazingly good.
Yeah, at the height of their powers.
Yeah, at the height of their powers, okay? They play two songs. First one, bam, they're killing it. What you notice, and you don't realize until about halfway through when you see. Well, do you remember that? Remember that movie?
Two songs.
Right. Yeah. You remember the movie where if you watch the video, then you die, and it had this black haired girl.
Yeah, the ring.
The ring, and yeah. She would
so not
pop up. Okay. Well, imagine watching this, and that black haired girl then shows up, but it's Yoko Ono. Okay? And you realize. Oh fuck! This is the Yoko Ono era. You know this. Oh no! Because then,
so they play the song.
They go to the second song, and they start playing, and then they and you could tell it's one of those things like they're all high, and they're making bad decisions, and no one.
No one is stopping John Lennon
from allowing this to happen. Not the cameraman, not the directors. No one is stepping in. And you've got the greatest artists that have made sound with guitars. It's them. This is it. Okay? And then this demon from hell comes up and is allowed to not only play a tambourine, but to come up to a microphone,
no.
and take over. And what she does
is, but before you describe it, I want to throw in real quick how Wikipedia describes this.
Okay,
vocal freestyle.
Okay, vocal freestyle. It might be one way. Okay, you could also call it a murder of music.
Music was murdered on that day.
And
CSI,
but
Dirty Mac Edition.
What's even worse, though, is it's like taking the Mona Lisa and just putting a shit on it. Because there
putting
was
a mustache
yeah,
on it.
You have
a Dirty Sanchez.
Yes, it's a Dirty Sanchez on the Mona Lisa.
Joke. You finished it.
Thank you.
That was a Mona Lisa of a joke.
Yes. Yes. And she does it. Because you've got this one glorious chance in all of time where this moon and stars have aligned. And then she just for 2.5 minutes.
Look at the audio spike.
2.5 minutes. Look, no, that's nothing. I didn't do shit. You got, America, Google it. Watch it. I'm not lying.
So
and I'm,
so did they play two songs and then this happened?
No, no, no.
The second song. Okay, so
you
got one pure song.
You've got one pure song, but you see her and you're like, oh, no.
Well, at first
it's
you don't know. But,
it's just like a Russian dash cam video when you know some shit's going to go down. And you did, oh, no. Oh, no. And then the second one is just, here's the meteor hitting the car. It's horrible.
History thought that Yoko Ono had only murdered one incredible rock band.
Oh, God.
But a quarter of a century later, we found out she did it twice.
Yeah, and a better one. Yeah. I mean, the Beatles were an amazing rock band. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
She killed a better one. And no one knew.
It was the secret crime.
But it's not. It surpasses just a Dirty Sanchez on the Mona Lisa. Because you're watching it, you're going, it's like if they did the Dirty Sanchez and then just like took the Mona Lisa and threw it in a pile of shit. And it's you're watching it like a slow train wreck the entire way.
So,
it's horrible. It's called, and their name of the band was the Dirty Mac.
It was a play on that, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
This thing after I watched this article.
Oh, so why did you bring this up again?
Okay, that's all right, yeah. I've been, as a mental exercise, if I was thinking, if someone like a Jay-Z or a Kanye, someone with a lot of clout these days, was gonna do like something where you
a Dirty Mac,
a Rock and Roll Circus or type thing where you invite all your friends and you get high and you just jam. What if someone tries to assemble a Dirty Mac right now?
Who's
the ringleader?
No.
I want to know. I know who the ringleader is.
We could do that too. I've got Marshall Mathers in my head. But what I was gonna say is, who is that group?
Well, I know who's gonna do it. It would be Snoop Dogg. Okay. He absolutely would be the one. Hey, motherfuckers, we gonna kick it old school, make a movie, and get high.
Welcome to my sizzle.
That's right. Snoop Dogg does that. Everyone loves Snoop Dogg. They're all showing up.
Okay.
Cool. But then, who is it?
Yeah, like, what is there anything close to that right now, rock-wise?
No, I don't think so.
Rock-wise.
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing rock, okay, it wouldn't be Snoop Dogg, mate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you have, I guess you could have a hip-hop group, super group. They've existed before, but they're usually like one
Snoop Dogg's rock and roll.
Well, I think interestingly, in hip-hop, like, the supergroup came first, and then each of the artists got stronger over time.
That's true.
Because NWA is Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. So, like, it kind of went in reverse almost.
Yeah.
They started as a group, and then they became
more
prominent.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like they pulled their resources to start off with, and then individual names they break up.
Yeah.
Death Row Records, I think, is their thing.
I don't know if that's where they started.
We are the world.
That's definitely involved. Like, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. And then the Fugees were kind of a super group too, I think. Right? The
Fugees? Fugees?
Fugees, thank you. I can't. It's been so long.
Yeah, Fugees. Yeah, Fugees.
Fugees an island.
That can't be the dumbest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
I mean, definitely not as big as the former members of NWA were.
Yeah,
Lauryn Hill.
I'm trying to think if you're doing. You're asking what the super band is.
No, I'm asking if you were going to make what's that roster today?
If you're going to make that,
if
movie,
you're the stoned out ringleader, who do you put together for Dirty Mac?
First, who's the stoned out ringleader? Who's the one that's I hadn't gotten there. I think
Snoop Dogg is
I think
pretty good.
Would weed even be the drug that you would?
Nah, hell no.
Would it be meth? Would it be?
Well, I think that kind of depends on what type of music.
Rock music. Choose rock.
Is it rock?
Probably wouldn't
I still
be
think Snoop Dogg would do it. I really think Snoop Dogg would be like, hey, I don't know, man, we're going to kick it for shizzle.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think it's a different era.
It really is.
And I think part of the reason why it's...
And rock really has just declined for a variety of reasons.
But I think it's also been a little more democratized. They're like, there are way more bands now.
That's true.
Than there were. Say what you want about the quality, but there are way more bands.
Oh,
now.
For sure. Yeah.
So like that era where like.
But surely there are some badasses here, right? No.
Maybe, but like, does it capture the zeitgeist the way it used to when you had a very limited
it
number of ways
not.
Of discovering music?
It doesn't.
The thing I'm struggling with is, you've got to find people that fit that mold of. I'm going to partake in this crazy kind of shit. This, all right, man, we're going to put on a Victorian era, you know, hipster circus, man. It's going to be awesome. And I'm trying to think, who the fuck?
Well, maybe
Willie
maybe
Nelson.
That,
he'd be the other one.
Maybe that's just
it.
The way it manifests.
Yeah, I mean, because again, like we said, they were young, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Part of me wants to say it would be a bunch of bands from the 90s.
And I think that's probably fair just because, back to Ariel's point, rock has just kind of fallen off a cliff as of late. There aren't like giant acts anymore.
Yeah, I think that part of that is just people like smaller acts and smaller numbers. There's not one mega act that everybody likes these days, it would seem to me.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters is one that's like 2000s, like a 2000s era.
There you go.
And like Chris Cornell and like Audio Slave, era.
When I was saying 90s,
I think Cornell is probably
early 2000s.
Makes a strong case for your vocalist, for example. I think
yeah.
I think
we're talking about. Wait a minute. I'm getting lost again. When you say the vocalist, that makes me think you're talking about the band.
Yeah, he's that.
I honestly do not give two shits about the bizarre trappings. I know that was weird and amusing, but that's not.
He means
the
band. He means put together the band.
Put together
the
super band.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl on drums. Your vocalist would probably. Who's the best damn vocalist?
I mean, even this that we're talking about, we're like shifting back about 10 years. Because, like, these are all people whose bands are popular more in the early 2000s than they were now.
I think Grohl's still the best drummer that's out there today.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, in terms of the height of their popularity and in their youth, which is the context of the.
Point.
Well, okay. I mean,
we're not pulling.
I mean, Steven Tyler is still singing, not well. But he's also 73 years old, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, people who are young now at the time.
Get Mick to host it. Yeah. Son of a bitch would, and everybody would come.
And you know what? Keith Richards could still play as bass.
I was about to say, a couple of years ago on SNL, they played with the Foo Fighters, and they were badass.
Oh, yeah. All right, that even justifies my Foo Fighters call.
Yeah, Grohl's a good pick, and someone I'd forgotten. Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. Yeah, Grohl makes a lot of sense there.
But again, he's not young and in his ultimate prime
they're
right
well
now.
Established.
Like a 2015 nice. Era, 2010s
you
era.
You want to know what the guy for... fucking guitar right now? I don't know that I can.
I know the instrumentalists are tough right now.
But it's kind of like
I can think of some. It's kind of like in the 80s guys. Again. Like the cat who has fun. You can make an argument for him. I think as your vocalist. And
sure,
but I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just an old guy myself.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not exactly a spring chicken myself, but I agree with in terms of the acknowledgement of the talent.
Yeah.
But I'd also think, like, again, there's so many bands, it's hard for a guitarist or a keyboardist or a drummer really to get prominence outside of their very specific following, which is not as broad as it used to be.
Yeah.
I think all of music is sort of like that, except maybe pop music that's controlled by Clear Channel. And I'm not spouting any conspiracy theories here. I'm just saying, like,
no, it's just
that's
you're following
different.
The money, right?
Yeah, and that there's a pumping of resources there, like advertising and stuff that gets somebody's name out there. But as far as rock is concerned, it's a little less like that. So, I just think the game has changed
a lot,
quite a bit.
Yeah, and maybe it's an answerable question, but I was just kind of pondering.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's tough. It sounds like a tough. Deal.
I'm going to say this. And I'm going to screw it up. Pharrell Williams.
Pharrell?
Damn it. See, I knew I'd screw it up. I was afraid I'd be racist if I said Pharrell because I'm from East Texas.
He's not.
There's a Terrell, Texas that's nearby. And then other people are like, no, it's Pharrell.
You
and I'm
should
like,
just
no,
live
it's
with that and you would have been okay.
Yeah.
Pharrell. I mean, Pharrell, like.
Pharrell.
He's not a rock guy. He doesn't sing. Just not in
yeah, but he's in everything.
Rock music. But he, I mean,
kind of is.
He's young and he's prolific and he's been a music producer far before he was even performing and he's written a lot of songs. He's very very talented. I don't disagree. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's been awesome for a while. Most people don't recognize that.
Lil Jon.
Now we're beyond rock. Now.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
he transcends all music. You tell me that you couldn't have Clapton up there playing, and just him going, yeah, and just
there's a group. What do you call a group with Lil Jon and Eric Clapton? Like, what do you call that group?
Yeah. Who? Yeah.
Well, hang on. What was his old band? Eric Clapton and the
Cream.
Oh, okay.
There's Eric Clapton and the something birds. Eric Clapton and the Nightbirds? What the hell? Eric Clapton.
Nightbirds? Question mark? What the hell? your wings? No.
I don't know. This podcast is taking a bizarre turn, I guess.
That's what we do.
Yardbirds.
Yardbirds, yes.
Okay.
Hot damn, I know the bird.
Yeah. As soon as you said it, it clicked.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess there's no answer. All right, this is a terrible idea.
Well, no, this is a great idea. There's so many ways you can take it.
Yeah.
But like, I gotta say, I don't know that there's a lot of bands that have guitars.
It's just the power.
They're well known.
I mean, the Killers, that's 2000s, but...
I just have nothing for the instrumentalist.
I guess my point is you can go to the Billboard Top 100 list for rock
yeah.
and pick one of those bands. And, like, pretty much in the top 10 bands, most people don't know who the drum, who the guitarist is.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Right, there's not one
that's... As popular like, as they might be.
No, yeah, you're right. There's nobody that's like, God Almighty, yeah. That's a great guitarist.
Right, yeah. Or drummer.
Like, all ones you can name are... Grohl. All the guitarists you can name are from 90s and 2000s. Right, Tom Morello from...
That I can name.
From,
yeah.
Audioslave and...
Well, I still like rock music. Yeah. It just ain't coming out no more.
Yeah, not as much.
Except for Imagine Dragons, which I like, but yeah. That but again, album like, is 2-3 years old now.
Muse?
They have a new song.
Oh!
Muse is one. That's 2000s, though.
There you go.
They're a 2000s band, though. They're not young.
It's true.
They're a 2000s band.
That's closer to anything I've come up with, though.
Sure.
Matt Bellamy. That.
We're only halfway through.
And it's only not the guitarist or the bassist. The bassist is really good for me.
The drummer's
pretty
good.
The drummer's pretty good, too. I don't know their names.
Okay, now we're cooking.
Still 2000s.
Yeah,
I got Cyrus going. That was
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm back in.
Back, baby. This won the bad question.
This band will be filled.
Muse is a good band.
This band will be filled.
But like, Imagine Dragons. Like, what's the name of their lead singer? What's the name of their guitarist? Like,
I don't even know what Imagine Dragons is.
They have a new. Yeah, you do. You've heard their songs.
They're actually that album was fantastic.
They have a new one coming. They have a new song out, I think, right now.
Ooh.
So they have something.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
Sure. This begs another question, and it's a continuation of a favorite. Might have been how we started this podcast. I can't remember if we did it before the podcast.
We started with George Lucas.
Okay. We started
Ghostbusters
originally.
Oh, episode one was about episode 7.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, episode one was about episode 7. Yeah.
That's right. We were
the acquisition broke, and I was like, okay, we have to actually pull the trigger on Full Sound.
Yeah, I'll be damned. Well, I was thinking of when we talked about what's the band that
we've never done this on the podcast, and we should.
Really?
Yeah.
We never
the
did it.
The championship belt for every decade of bands.
Yeah, but the
and
truth
thank
is
you
not...
for articulating it that way, because we...
Well, that's not me. That's, what's his name?
Bill Simmons.
But here's the trick. You can't just be the best band of that decade. You have to be a band that's so fucking good that you've had hits ever since.
You're the enduring legacy act from the decade.
Okay. So how far do you go?
How far can you go?
Well, until you retire. I mean, that's really it, right? Like, what counts as a hit? Like, still on the charts?
Yep.
Like, never goes away from the charts? I think you can find some interesting technicalities.
And it's got to be a band. You can't be like Elvis or Michael Jackson or individuals.
Yeah, so like, for example, like the Beatles, when they re-released one like in the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That counts, right?
They're the 50s act.
Yeah.
The 60s act, I would argue, but the 50s.
If you pulled an anthology album out of your ass this year and it sold gold or platinum,
or if you forced everyone to buy your album on iTunes, that totally counts.
But how long do you have to go before those reissues, right? Because like,
honestly, that may be the most they've had any distribution this decade.
Like, is the Beatles?
Can you go back older than the Beatles?
No. My question is, the Beatles were the band of 50s and early 60s. But they had material that went later,
and then
the reissue stuff didn't happen for decades later. And in between, they really weren't around in the charts, so they still win the belt for that era.
You don't have to be constant. But
that's my kind of question.
But it has to be something where pretty much
today people still acknowledge the prowess of the band, either
or
new album sales or
after that initial blow up. Somewhere down the line, a couple times down the line, you're still producing awesome work.
Okay, but again, like how far down the line? Because like the Beatles reissued their stuff, they just died.
Until they're dead.
Well, right. I mean, and to that point, a lot of them aren't with us anymore.
Right, so, right. Yeah. But if you could put if somebody found the Beatles are an easy case because even if you found some B-roll something that's never been heard, if they put it out, it would sell a ton.
Yeah, they did.
And Michael Jackson bought it.
Right. Yeah.
And the Beatles did that. Like they Free
mm-hmm.
was a song that they re-released in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. That was a Beatles song that
it's
never been
released
before.
Yeah.
And like,
40 years later, that's totally.
Yeah.
That
counts. I mean, no one's going to deny
the
Beatles.
But the Beatles, when you were saying how far, I was thinking, can you go any older than the Beatles? I don't know that I could.
Well,
like,
they kind of.
Basically,
the
Beatles are the 50s to me. Yeah. 60s were the Stones. I mean,
the Beatles were still in the 60s, too.
They're
not a 50s band in and of themselves. Like they right. span a decade. They straddle two decades.
They span, but they're old enough that I was going with them. Okay, for the
but they straddle two decades.
And then I did the, the Stones.
A lot of these guys do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Stones for the 60s.
Stones for the 60s.
So, yeah, yes. Yeah. Now, me, I had Aerosmith for the 70s.
I mean, you've got. I think you've got to be because they came back big in the 90s.
And they had albums in 2000, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that longevity thing that changes the equation
right. a bit. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Now, if you can come up with other ones, I'd love to hear it.
Now, in the 80s, I think you can make an argument for two bands.
Okay.
I would go U2, obviously, and Metallica is still incredibly relevant.
All right.
Now, it's a different kind of rock, so I don't know if that works.
No, that works totally. It's mainly just a matter of, if it's a contest, who if they're coming out with an album now, is selling more?
I think it's Metallica. Based on the vitriol I saw in 2014 for U2.
That's because they spammed everybody, every fucking phone in America.
Yeah, well.
Including my father-in-law, who was fucking livid. These people? And I can't get this off my phone.
That's mostly, not entirely, but mostly independent of the quality of the music in the album.
Yeah, I like some of the songs.
It's just because we're talking about the music more than...
I think.
So that you kind of have to pretend like that album never came out.
Yeah.
So you have to count the previous one,
right.
Which came out a few years behind that.
Yeah.
They're still pumping out music.
They were crushing it until, I would say, recently.
Mm-hmm. I even like some of the recent stuff.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the new album, to be honest. But
I just have a feeling we're missing something from the 80s. I can't put my finger on it, though. Like, my brain tells me there's something. One-hit wonders don't count.
God damn it. You nailed it. I can't come up with a better, funnier 80s band to immediately just erasure, but that ain't near as good as Wang. So you've got Wang in it.
It's just a feeling like we're missing one.
You have filled that joke.
I just get the feeling like we're missing a band. That I don't
probably.
Know.
Oh, that's the constant. We've been having this discussion for at least 6 years.
Okay, this is where decade where it becomes
now your time is compressing, right? Because there's less time between the 90s and the present day. So you don't
is part of the problem.
So the equation has a limitation now because you have.
It's true, but it's not been 15 years.
Yeah, so we're getting better at it.
Yeah, we should have.
That's why I'm asking because we're halfway through.
We
this
should
decade.
Have a contender, and I think
the problem is Kurt Cobain died. So
it really kind of is. If Kurt didn't blow his brains out was so early on, it is Nirvana.
That changes
probably things.
That would change things.
Because so many 80s acts will tell you that Nirvana like
Chili Peppers is a contender, I would say.
Nice. The other one.
I've thrown out Green Day in the past.
Yeah, he threw out Green Day, and that's a fucking good one.
Yeah.
And Riyadh, who sadly is not with us, but I'll throw his...
He's not dead. Because
he blew
here.
His brains out.
Right.
He's not dead. He's here. He's just not here physically.
But only because of my Wing Chun joke. He didn't realize I was kidding. The Foo Fighters.
Yeah. But are they a 90s band?
Yeah.
Late 90s.
They are.
97, 96, something like that.
They're totally 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And
they were
dead.
I
think
they were 96.
Killing it the whole time.
Yeah. Even as late as a couple years back.
Even though I came out with Green Day, I think I like the Foo Fighters the best.
Yeah, I think Green Day gets some votes, but I think maybe Foo Fighters have more longevity in terms of quality albums.
I certainly think so.
Yeah. In terms of overall quality.
Yeah.
Shit, they made a good song on YouTube just the other day. Mm-hmm. They were playing in Chile.
The country. Chile, yeah.
And they're playing their music, and he says something about how I love you, Chile, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And immediately, the entire, million people there, because they don't do anything small there, well, just, Chile, 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 Chile. They're doing the whole soccer chant, and they wouldn't stop. It just started, and it was like, and they're, Foo Fighters are just going, oh, what did we start? Because it's getting louder. And so then he was like, and he turns around and he says something to the drummer, and then he turns back and they just start going, cheat, and they're doing it a Foo Fighters style. Place goes fucking nuts. It's awesome. It's a great song. He's cheat, and they're doing
you
it.
Can
the
buy
beat.
It on iTunes for
99
cents.
I would buy that in a heartbeat. And I'm sitting there going, son of a bitch, those guys are good.
Yeah.
It takes something been sung for 100 years. And, oh, man. That,
just freestyle
and,
it.
Yeah, and he just freestyled it. And I'm like, shit. So, yeah, Foo Fighters are probably the winner in the 90s, which,
for the
you know, they were a contender before.
Way too early, but I've got two contenders that I will be following. Linkin Park and Muse.
Yeah.
I think
Muse has a better chance.
Oh, me too. Me too. But Linkin Park had a really good decade.
Yeah.
You like Transformers.
You got the touch!
No.
That's not them?
No.
Oh, shit.
That's the Transformers.
Yes.
Yeah. It hadn't been Bayified yet.
Yeah.
Y'all still haven't seen...
Bayhem film style. That's what they call it.
No, we haven't seen the goddamn movie.
No. I watched it halfway and I haven't picked it back up again. Netflix still has a record of me stopping.
It just says why. Yeah. Why?
You can't watch that by yourself. That's got to be a.
Well, I tried, I was in a bad place when I did that.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either. So, Foo Fighters, who from this decade?
2010s. We're halfway.
Imagine
through.
Dragons. Actually, no. I'm gonna guess Fun.
Fun?
Yeah, maybe.
I think Taylor Swift's gonna form a.
But she's a kind of. Oh, okay. So she's a singular artist.
Yeah, but she's
fit
gonna
list.
Have Taylor Swift.
Ah, the dirty whack.
The dirty whack.
Can't all be gold.
The dirty whack.
But there you go. God, who you got?
2010 to 2015.
You had a whole conversation, argument with yourself, and resolved it in
no,
2 seconds.
No, I didn't. You know what
grunts.
It was? I started to. I was like, no, this way madness lies.
He pulled the ripcord on that whole
thing.
Can't
do it.
What's the girl band? If you're doing a super girl band today, what would that be?
Kristen Wiig, yeah. Melissa McCarthy.
You're just a Ghostbusters cast singing.
Girlbusters!
They also... Taylor Swift and the Pussycats.
Hey, are they doing they're doing a remake of Jem, right?
They are.
Oh, God.
Yes.
What?
Ooh. Is it a remake if you didn't make
what?
It the first
Oh, no, sorry, not a remake, but a live-action version.
Yeah.
Adaptation of it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It will be truly outrageous.
Jem and the Holograms, dude.
What?
You're the oldest one in the podcast, so you don't know.
I know.
While you were too busy throwing slime on all of your shit.
That's right.
It was a girls' cartoon.
There was a girls' cartoon called Jem and the Holograms.
Yeah, so I remember Jem. But they're making a live action
version. Yeah.
Okay, and who's
it's
in
already
it?
Cast? I think
I don't know.
Okay, so when you said they, there was a Taylor Swift discussion
they had
going on.
No, there was no connection. Saying, there's no implied
okay,
connection.
I was sitting there going, "Is Taylor Swift
no
making a movie where she's Jem?"
Not yet.
I don't want to live in that world.
I refuse to live in that restaurant.
You know, you may.
They,
you may
they better make a goddamn He-Man movie, America.
I know you're just angry.
I want Hordak Slime Pit coming at me in 3D. Okay, I should have said,
that's terrifying.
Exactly.
3D slime.
Yeah, you're sitting there in the seat, and all of a sudden this arm
grasping
comes
your
up
genitals,
underneath
yeah.
and grabs you through your crotch to your heart and just.
All right, a lot of young actresses that are, I think, unknown probably to us are in the Jem film.
I would imagine.
But Molly Ringwald and Juliette Lewis are part of the cast, which is pretty strong, I would say.
I think for a project like this, yeah. Sure.
Juliette Lewis?
And Aubrey
from
Peoples.
From Natural Born Killers?
You reminded me of something else I wanted to bring up.
Wait,
perfect.
From Natural Born Killers? That's
yes.
Juliette Lewis?
Yes.
I think so. I'm glad okay. You said that. I was going to go with... fucking from Dust Till Dawn.
Wow, guys.
Wow.
I have to be like,
I'm sure she's had like way stronger roles in other movies, but okay.
Clark Griswold's daughter?
That's, yeah, right.
Carry on.
Yeah, that's my embarrassing. Like, yeah, clearly I'm watching the wrong films.
All right, anyway. what was this thing that made you go turkey?
On Twitter, there have been two really interesting memes the last couple of weeks.
Gamergate.
No.
Okay.
That has never been interesting. Four childhood comics.
An hour.
Oh yeah.
What?
I know what
four
you're
childhood comics and four childhood crushes.
I'm just talking like, what's the comics era? Like, childhood, what age to what age?
I don't know. It's your childhood, right?
I...
What do you mean by comics? Do you mean...
Four comics that influenced...
Eddie Murphy?
Comic books. No. Comic books.
We should talk about that, though.
Comedians.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, got it. So, comics.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, y'all know my answers. I think we've talked about all of them. It'd be the Silent Snake Eyes issue.
Oh, yeah, of
course.
It would
be.
Yeah, because that's why I wanted to bring it. Was I was like, you know what? I think I could probably get... I feel like you'd probably figure out keys.
Actually, no. There's one you're not going to get.
The Surge at Calibru, for okay. Sure.
Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, part one.
Part one, right. Uh-huh.
And I don't have the fourth one.
Okay.
Are those three in the
Well,
we got the Thor, we got the G.I.
Joe. I don't think I'd have Scourge at Excalibur. I didn't figure that out till later.
Okay.
But again, like, what does childhood count? Like, what?
When you're a kid, and you were at these
12, 13?
Yeah, I think so. I picked some from my teenage years.
When the books were not comics, they were options. When you were a kid, it was like, I'm going to be this, or I'm going
to
be this.
Okay, but on Twitter, like, anybody of any age can tweet this, so yeah. It has to be an age range that's, that localizes. Yeah.
Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, one.
Part one.
Silent Snake Eyes. Mm-hmm.
Number 21 for those keeping track of
them. Yeah. Oh, they've heard way too much about that now.
They have. How dare you, America? Like
Flash 347.
Oh, where he gets destroyed.
Where Big Sur smacks the ever-loving fuck out of his face.
I should have known that
scarred
one.
You for life.
I'm afraid they're going to do that on the show.
Scarred you for life.
No, I'm scared. They're going to do Big Sur on the show and hit the Flash across the face.
If they do that, we'll know that Grant Gustin's asking for too much money. And they're missing Wally West.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the last one is one I don't know if y'all would know about. I don't know if we talked about it. I couldn't tell you what number it is because I've never been able to find it. Oh, and America, if ever anybody can find it and tell me which one it is, I'd be so happy. But there was a Justice League where... they were kidnapped by a race of cat people that lived on a different world.
The Felinoids, yes.
Well, what?
I took a stab.
That could totally be it. Because these people were like doing some kind of drug or something like that converted them into cat people. And they were like, it gets even worse. It would be like an office of bankers that were evil corporate types. And the boss took it and turned into a lion type thing. And the secretary turned into some cat woman that was halfway good looking. And all the other sycophants there turned into different versions of cat people. And then kidnapped, Wonder Woman and defeated Batman and Superman and all of them. It completely caught me as a kid.
That's cool. That's a great question.
Again, I only read the first half. I don't know how it resolved. Somehow they got out because they moved on.
I think the answer to your question, how young is just as young as you can go before you just remember loving the hell out of. And it really, got you into it.
Yeah, I read the shit out of that.
A lot of mine are from my teens because, frankly, I didn't have access to comics until I got older.
See, I had quasi-access. I would get part one and never find part two. That happened quite often. And as a matter of fact, you'll notice that three of my four are ones that I never saw the resolution to. Or two out of three I saw as an adult.
This is why you make things up in your head.
Yeah, I have to.
It all makes sense now. I had a breakthrough here on Full Sound Theory tonight. But mine were the Transformers volume number 8. Which was the first Dinobot issue.
Really?
I actually owned it. It was for a while.
Seven was where they killed Optimus, wasn't it? Six or seven?
They didn't kill him, but he was cut up or something. Because Optimus' head has to talk Ratchet up in the issue 7.
Exactly, yes!
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucked up.
Yeah, they decapitated Optimus.
And that's why he wouldn't film the Dinobots. He had all right, well, Optimus is the head now, so I gotta call the troops. So there was that one. I had Gen 13 number 5 from the mid-90s.
I thought you said Gem. I was going to be like, the continuing funny, right? Character?
That'd be hysterical.
Gen 13 number
5, which for a while I was convinced was just the best illustrated comic of all time. Like, he was flawless. It began my lifelong obsession with J. Scott Campbell and his work. work. I had Batman the Dark Knight. Goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
And, don't forget your fourth one, Cyrus. Liberty Meadows.
Which one?
It was the fifth issue, and that just because that was the first one I got.
Oh.
So, which really just kind of changed how I looked at comic strips.
Are they real?
So,
I don't know. I have to think about it.
Yeah.
I think it's more. I have to think about it longer than I.
Yeah.
All right. So four childhood.
Definitely like X-Men number one. The
one that everyone had.
Yeah, the one everyone
cool.
had.
Yeah.
Because that one I read many, many, many times, and I bought it at a grocery store.
Lee drew the fuck out of it, too.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the first comics I ended up, like, actually owning.
Which cover do you have?
The one with Magneto on front of it.
There you go.
That was the one I bought. I ended up buying.
Wait a minute.
Well, they all connect, remember?
Well, yeah they all connect, but then there was one that was the gatefold.
I didn't have that one.
Oh, I didn't know that existed.
It was the rare the Buck 50 rack or whatever in my public grocery store where I bought it. I think I still have it.
I was 15 or 14, so I got the gate. I was actually collecting by that point.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying for sure, but another one might be that Wolverine issue. That is like the manila folder with the tear.
With the tear. I think exactly
that was so fucking cool.
and it got your hopes up like,
yeah, and then
this is it. They're finally going to fucking tell us about Weapon X. It had Classified on there.
And
you read it,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm not sure it's influential necessarily, but it was really
cool. Wrote that?
And I remember being a kid and like, you know,
you're mad at it 25
amazing.
Years later.
I am.
I'm going to send that guy a sternly worded tweet.
Twitter.
Twitter. Yes.
I know where you live.
Dude, no. No, no, no. No. Don't do that.
All right. Keep going.
I'm just talking to talk because it's late. I'm just trying to think of my...
Well, that's what the worst
stuff. There's going to be a Spider-Man comic in there somewhere because Spider-Man is my hero.
I had one that, you know, almost made my list. So, yeah.
I'm just not sure like how late I should go. It's probably going to be one of the anniversary issues in the 90s, the ones with the holograms in the front. I had all four, but there was one that I really loved and I just don't remember which one it was.
Was this McFarlane or post-McFarlane?
Post-McFarlane, I think. Just post.
It was probably Eric Larson.
Yeah, I believe. That would be the next
one. I've got him still.
It was Larson than Bagley.
Really?
It was Mark Bagley, yeah.
Probably damn.
Yeah.
It was one of those I remember reading many, many times. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man. One of those issues like hooked me on Spider-Man.
I mean,
which is to my eternal disappointment because Spider-Man just like took the fucking nosedive at one more day. And since then, it's just been...
Yeah.
And it, you know, and it was patchy in between. Don't get me wrong. Ultimate Spider-Man.
It took
him
a long time
to
recover from the Spider-Clone saga.
And Ultimate Spider-Man is really probably the best Spider-Man you can read even today. I would say.
Word.
You're still not reading Miles Morales, are you?
I just always
remember you saying that your favorite part was the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
They're entirely there.
Not for one more year.
Oh, I'm just saying that
they'll bring Miles
into
the blended
Marvel
universe.
They are there.
I think
they ain't gonna bring his garage though.
They may not. They may not. They may not.
So are you gonna read it? Because otherwise, I'll tell you what's going on.
I don't know. Maybe at some point I will. I need to see how Ultimate End shakes out first.
Peter didn't die.
Oh, I know. I caught that reveal. He's back.
All right. Yeah.
But.
Which makes it an interesting way of them like that. An interesting proof of concept from them blending Miles back into the.
Yeah. Main well, they never did unless somebody caught it and I didn't. Where Peter from the 616 asked to find out what Miles Morales was in his universe. It was shocker, but you never found out what it was.
Yeah, maybe that might be a plot thread that they just don't ever bring back after Secret Wars. Over.
I don't know. It'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. I'm just saying, I don't know. There's so many dangling plot threads, and they're going to destroy that whole Ultimate Universe. So, what they decide, again, for the fifth time or whatever.
It's the Daredevil universes.
Everybody likes to
destroy
it. Just kick it in the face.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're angry at it.
Or grab it by the crotch and slime it.
That's right.
God damn it.
But no childhood crushes, huh?
That was
hard.
That was interesting to look at on
that was hard for me to think of because, like, I don't think I had a lot of crushes like that. I think all of my crushes were real people that I interact with. Like, real most of my school. Yeah, I had a hard time even trying to come to mind.
Okay, like, I guess I'm the only warped one here.
No, I had to come up with four.
Was it the slime? Was it the slime key? No, was that your first?
No,
was that your
childhood best friend? I got one.
My best friend and it's I.
The fall girl, girl. Fall guy, girl.
The fall guy, girl.
No, really.
No.
Oh no! Look. My buddy and I don't know which one of us started this, and we were probably eighth grade. This is bright prime eighth grade material.
Any pot?
Where we created a harems. Harems. Okay. And it was a race, but you had to take turns. That was just like, she's
there's
mine.
A draft?
Yes.
Did you say you drafted
fantasy,
him?
Fantasy, fantasy draft. I love it.
It got to over 100. It was just,
we're doing this on an episode.
And this is another one like,
we're doing it.
So now we're talking draft.
A fantasy fantasy draft.
There you go.
We'll totally undo any goodwill from the previous episode.
I think we were already getting pretty close.
We had a fantasy draft, and it was just, oh, she's mine. And again, to give you the era, it's like eighth grade. Cindy Crawford was almost at the top of the list because that's
like commercial.
Hang on, no, but it was right before it was everybody's because of the commercial that Pepsi had, where it was her first big anything. And I mean, it was like a race to the phone where you dive and grab it before he calls you, and you dial, and she's mine. That was the level of intensity about.
Motherfucker, oh, that's my Kool-Aid.
I've got to have that forever. I was actually talking
to
my buddy
Cindy
about
Crawford
this. Play
Eternal Dibs.
Eternal Dibs. Yes, Eternal Dibs. I'll give you. And so when you say four, I'm like, I had a 100. I know. I had 100. Amy Grant. That was another one.
Okay.
Wow, that was. Amazing reception. Didn't even know anybody would know.
Amy Grant.
That was. Yeah. Right. So, whittling it back down.
So, again, the age range for this is different than the comics one. So you're 8th grade.
I would think so, yeah.
So you're more
like
a teenager.
Everyone, like, gets in the
fifth,
girls
sixth,
at different
seventh,
age.
Yeah, 5th, 6th, 7th,
8th. Or guys, if you want to put 4 crushes that are guys, no matter your gender, go for it.
Sure.
The hashtag is gender neutral.
Some of the interesting ones I saw was... Gambit showed up on a lot of girls' lists.
Of course.
I was like, well, handsome French accent guy in a trench coat. That is pretty
Come
badass.
On.
All right. In the 90s.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I think I thought of one. Terry Hatcher from Lois and Clark.
Okay.
Oh. That's got to be one of mine.
So when I first approached my father,
ever.
And I said,
mine, old man.
I will fight you now.
And I said,
where's my slime pit?
Here's a computer, and you can connect to these, what were they called?
BBSs?
Back then? BBSs back then. And he'd seen that, and I was like, well, I can just pick up the phone and call your buddy. I'm like, but I'm typing to him right here. It's amazing. Fuck you.
This is going
to
be huge and amazing.
No, yeah, exactly. And then he was just, I can pick up a phone. Well, then, the internet, and I had, now I don't more up what year,
it's
a few years later,
crush.
And I got the internet. I did it all myself, everything. And I'm telling my father, there's this thing called the internet, and it's amazing.
Where's this going?
And no, my father said, well, can it find a picture of Terry Hatcher naked? And I said, let's see. I bet it can. And I got on, I think it was Ask Jeeves, but it might not have been Ask Jeeves at that point. It might have
been
AOL.
Ask Jeeves for porn?
I just typed Terry Hatcher naked. And lo and behold.
Did he hug you? Did your father hug you?
And 7 minutes later,
and
there she was.
My father.
Did he
said,
cry a tear? A
That's
tear.
Amazing. And I was like,
I love you, son.
Exactly.
That's what, did he hug you? And,
do you do?
Yeah, it was a moment. But so whenever anybody utters the words Terry Hatcher, the first thought that goes through my mind is that's how my father was introduced to the internet.
Well, that's not
the
my first thought.
Of it. That's mine.
It's a good story, though.
Right on.
Yeah, so Gambit, so there was a lot of Gambit, and There was a lot of love for Jennifer Connelly.
From what?
Because
that date, I mean, that's starting to date people, right?
Oh.
Okay, Labyrinth.
Yeah. I'd actually be more surprised there wasn't a whole lot of love for Phoebe Cates.
Again, it
she date. Was absent. I was blown.
It dates
I
you,
was,
man. It depends on what era.
I guess.
If you're picking but Labyrinth, you're in the same era.
Right. She was in Gremlins.
Yeah.
And Cutie in Gremlins. Well, I saw a lot of Ally Sheedy, which I approve of. I did not find any Robin Wright.
Hmm.
How did Buttercup not make it? That woman is still beautiful.
Yeah.
But well, Carrie Elway's Wesley was a very popular pick for the ladies. I just thought it was interesting that in reverse.
Depends on the audience, I guess. Maybe Princess Bride is more popular with gals than guys.
Hmm.
And in its era, when you're in that age range.
What were the childhood crushes?
I think it holds up still.
So
I agree. I like the film.
Harem, Daisy did.
Yeah. I did. Okay. I didn't have. This is me dating myself. There were three that would have made it if I hadn't been a little too young. Erin Gray.
Erin Gray. That's one of mine.
I was just too young to realize that she was stunning, right?
Yeah,
Catherine Bach. I didn't realize Catherine Bach was gorgeous. I just went over my head. I love watching the car jump.
I was little and was just like my heart was going 1,000 miles an hour.
I just went over my head.
It's mature. Yvonne
Gray was gorgeous in Batman.
Oh. Yeah, that was...
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I watched the shit in syndication.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, of course. I didn't see it until I was older.
Did you see Scott Kurtz? Like, all four of them were Linda Hamilton. Or not Linda Hamilton. Linda Carter. Wonder Woman.
I did see some Linda Hamilton.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
All four, of them. All four of them were Wonder Woman.
I was never big on the whole high hip thing that she wore when I was a kid. No, it would be the Fall Guy girl.
See, right. You called it.
It's right. It's shit, man. I steady raced and turned that channel knob all the way. Which one's Fall Guy, Bob? My voice was that deep at 7.
Right.
Bob!
I was laughing that you had a knob.
Yeah!
Not a remote control knob.
No,
it was
God.
Not.
Oh, yeah.
Clack. Was it VHF or UHF? Was it the big clacks or the little
13
clack?
Of them.
So UHF,
it was,
probably.
No, it was 13. It was a big clack.
Yeah, like...
This was... fucking cowboy
nobody under the age of, like, 20 knows what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, when I think of Danny White, the former quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, what I think of is watching Danny White by standing at the screen and leaning on the thing and looking at the football game, and then when it gets to commercial, my dad would go, "Turn it!" And I had to turn the knob. I was his remote. I just had to stand up there.
That's why he had children.
Yeah.
I'm tired of turning that goddamn
flagger. I can remember the first time I saw a remote, and I was just like, I get to sit and watch shows. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
The four Linda Carter thing was funny, but my favorite joke answer was someone posted all four Golden Girls.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Oh, ooh.
Nice.
Ooh.
But you can't say it. You can't talk shit about Estelle Getty. You cannot talk shit about Estelle Getty.
In this context, I'm.
Yeah, they were funny as hell.
Yeah, they're funny.
I like that show.
I didn't have a crush on
that show a lot.
It was good. So I had, and I was surprised I didn't see more of her. I had Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia.
Oh.
At her in Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi. I'm starting to slur. We're getting late.
It's getting late.
Yeah, was that's some seminal shit. I was seeing parts of her I didn't have names for. Kim Basinger in Batman really did it for me. Which now I don't understand.
She dated Prince.
Have you seen
that? That would have hurt me had I known. I didn't know what Prince was. Didn't have an MTV.
I mean, have you seen Batman recently? I mean, I think she still looks very attractive in 89 Batman today. And my current.
She's actually held up well, but I part of them might be the styles.
Yeah, possibly.
There isn't very 80s.
Yeah, sure.
Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, frankly, holds up better in Batman.
I have eras of crushes. It would be like when I was really young, and it's Daisy Duke, the Fall Guy girl. I can't remember the other ones I said.
I'm not sure you did.
I think those two.
You gave us those.
Oh no, Erin Gray. That's the other
She's
one.
Still beautiful.
Jesus, Harold. I know it's not. Oh my
it's
God!
It's amazing.
Whatever. But, lucky bastard
but
married
this
her.
This was
She's
pre-surgery Hollywood.
Today. Yeah, no.
If you were gorgeous back then, you were just gorgeous.
Yeah, and was, she's right? still, I mean, you see her, you know, we saw her several years back, right?
And Austin.
And she's stunning. You look at Buck Rogers, you know, gut, khaki shorts, you know, I'm Buck Rogers. It looks like Buck Rogers.
He could be an asshole in line at the pharmacy for you know, Flo Max.
Yeah.
He's just like, nah. It's
yeah. Flo Max. But she
he's about that. He's
is
getting up there.
Staggeringly beautiful, and she's got to be pushing 68 or 69, and just stunning. I'm cool. Like, God almighty. Yeah,
cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one more.
That's three. God dang it. But this is for this era. That really young.
Oh, man, I
cartoons are allowed, right? So
yeah.
They have to be real people.
Tila.
I knew it. I knew it. I had it in my head, and I was going to see if you
could. No, I don't know.
You got to fight Superman.
There was
her.
That's right.
And the slime yeah. somehow makes it into this picture somehow.
Oh, that's right. No, no, no.
It was kryptonite.
It was,
that was horrible.
It would be over.
I don't know who that fourth one was. Really?
Damn. But,
huh.
And, okay. Well,
maybe Kathy Ireland.
She's a, that's
they
a
had
respectable
that, what was
choice.
That, the 25th anniversary? That was the first Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition I ever saw.
It's still a very famous one. I know what you're talking
oh
about.
Oh, my
God. It's a very
God.
Famous cover.
No! Even more than Kathy Ireland. It was Stephanie Seymour. That was it. I would have,
another one
I would have slayed men.
And Axl Rose.
I was so enraged.
Wow.
Enraged at Axl Rose.
I'm glad somebody.
That skeezy looking son of a bitch. Can
I have,
you hook up
I
with
have an admission
Stephanie
in our,
Seymour?
In our previous discussion about the championship belt ban, I had a joke about Chinese democracy, and I chose not to deploy it. So I'm glad Axl Rose somehow made it back into the conversation.
Dear God. Yeah, Stephanie Seymour. Yeah. That was it.
The first girl kind of my age that I, Hollywood starlet, I was into was Danica McKellar from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, that was in your post, yeah.
Wait a minute.
She was
what was the name of her character?
Winnie Cooper.
Thank you, Winnie. Okay.
She was adorable then. She's still gorgeous now. It's kind of crazy. She went full Emma Watson. I'm going to be a cute kid, but I'm going to be just be a ridiculously beautiful woman. It's going to be awesome. And then Elvira.
I saw that.
My,
I was, that was
a weird
surprised
one.
By that. Yeah.
I still remember, and you'll have to help me, Keyshawn, because you're a dad. What age?
She was on TV 39.
She was. What age are you when you're in second grade?
You're
7 and 8.
7 or 8. Okay. Halloween of that grade for me, I still remember going to trick-or-treat, and there was a lady in who came to the door to give us candy, and she was dressed as her. And it was like, hallelujah. I could hear that sound, I could hear that song, hallelujah, when I saw her.
Hallelujah.
I was like,
that
oh.
Or from...
Hallelujah.
Oh, that
hallelujah.
One. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the
sorry,
church
I
thought
I don't want him. As I
no, I thought you were doing like the Tom Jones one in the
like,
Watchmen.
Like light
that's
emanated.
Is it? That one sounds
like Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen?
Tom Jones.
Cohen.
What's new, Pussycat?
Whoa! This is a real weird podcast now.
It's falling apart, right?
It's
falling down
soon. It's crumbling.
But it was like light, a beam of light came from this woman's breasts, and I was like, oh, those are awesome. I gotta get me some of those.
Wow.
It's been forever ago, and I still remember this event.
Sure.
Somewhere out there, she's listening to this podcast.
So I was like, yeah, Elvira, make that happen.
I remember that kid.
Yeah, she's out there listening, she's 60 or something, or whatever.
That's
now.
Right.
Still got it!
I think I got Terry Hatcher, Psylocke.
Okay.
X-Men.
Oh, whoa.
And Kelly from Saved by the Bell. I think
I had Kelly on the radar. Yeah.
I'm struggling.
Did y'all see her the other night?
Yeah.
On Jimmy Fallon? I haven't watched it yet.
She looks just as gorgeous as the day
she's
on
the
show.
She's on the show White Collar on USA.
Yeah.
I stream on Netflix.
Well, I'm just saying. She doesn't look any different.
Mario Lopez appeared to have just decided we're not going to age.
Yeah, Mario Lopez looks
the only
the
thing you could tell was when they smiled, they would have little bitty lines around their eyes.
Yeah,
because
it's been
20
years.
Right.
Gosler's showing his age.
Really?
A little bit.
I thought he
doesn't look bad.
He's like thinner in a way. He looks a little thinner in his, like, now than he did before.
Huh? He's not even enough. Maybe. I love the fact that they excluded the nerd. Screech wasn't allowed to be on it.
Oh, I thought he had a falling out with the rest of them. I know.
Is he not in jail right now?
No, he's not. He actually did like a tell all, like as a cash grab years later.
Poor
Screech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He's actually the reason the reading hasn't happened for real. Even the Fallon's been pushing for it.
Yeah, he's back when he was on the Late Show, he was pushing real hard for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He even had
Kelly Kapowski is an excellent pick.
Yeah. I think that's three or four. I don't know. Maybe I'll post on Twitter once.
I thought it was an interesting conversation. I was just surprised at some of the things I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
I was going as far back as a childhood crush would be, as opposed to like teenager obsession. The teenager obsession.
Yeah.
And I think I may have mentioned that with Stephanie Seymour, because that was right at the boundary.
I don't know. Cindy Crawford and Eternal Dibs is pretty impressive.
Oh, that was some serious shit. I'm telling you, it was vicious, because the other one, they weren't yours. It was the other guy. He beat me to it, and I'm just being son of a bitch. I can't believe I didn't think of her. It was horrible. Yeah. We should do that. We should have a draft.
Oh, I'm going to need a nickname also.
Right. Jim, number one pick.
I think I saw that on some list on Twitter.
Jim?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's a rock star. I think, I never actually saw Jim. I'm going to be throwing that out there. I think she was in the band. I don't actually know.
Yes.
Daphne? Oh, wait a minute. All right, I take Stephanie Seymour back. I put her in the high school pile.
Pile. It's like they're not even people. Nah.
They weren't when I was at
They
age.
Are ants, Michael.
What was her name? The movie star.
I'm amazed.
The movie star.
I'm so proud of you.
It wasn't Marianne, it was the other one. Ginger.
Ginger, yeah.
Yes.
Think you're disavowing a franchise.
We're just waiting for the gritty reboot of Gilligan's Island.
The gritty reboot?
Yeah.
It's called Survivor.
Just saying. Imagine what a gritty reboot of Gilligan's Island
would be. Didn't Michael Bay make that? Wasn't that the island?
Oh, God, that would be so. No,
the island was not that.
There should be a gritty reboot. That's great.
Yeah. That's what I thought. That's why I said it.
Say great things, motherfuckers.
Recognize.
It's
a celebration. I'm one of the best-looking podcasters on the planet.
Another nautical-themed gritty reboot. Love Boat. Gritty reboot.
I'm fascinated by these fictitious harems. Like, how many people did you get?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's more
he's
than
got,
100.
To quote Mitt Romney, he's got binders full of women.
That's really creepy.
I don't think we ever went so far as write it down. But I will tell you that it was memorized. It was fully memorized. We knew every single one. Obviously,
was this a choice?
End it now, man.
There's only two of us. It was just back and forth. Okay, so
and you found 200 women to divvy up.
Yes, it was the eighth grade in East Texas.
I don't know 200 women.
Bullshit. In the eighth grade, you could easily list 200 women. And be angry at the 100.
I think I was trying to memorize all the elements in the periodic table.
No, see, in school wasn't that much of a challenge for me. I had whole quadrants of brain dedicated to memorizing this list. I've never told you all the weird shit I did when I was a kid.
That's a whole other podcast.
Well, you taught your dad the value of the internet.
Yeah,
that's right.
You did that.
We would finish our work early. I started a staple chain club. Where, when you finished all the other crap and they had nothing else you could
do,
you would go around the floor finding all the staples and then make a chain. And it went longer than a football field by the time the end of the year.
How did you know? Did you actually string
it? We strung it out as long as a football field, and then we'd wind it back up into this giant ball.
Oh, I gotcha.
And unwind it. And it was like this subtle thing. It ended up having like half a dozen, more than half a dozen kids.
Did anybody ever make those, like, I'm just wondering, because I grew up in a different place, Those little, they take a paper clip and you unfold it and you make that little triangle thing that pops.
That no.
It's like jumps.
We weren't that smart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
we were dedicating brain cells to lists of
that thing pissed people off because it jumped.
Footballs and those little footballs. Fortune teller
footballs.
Things.
Oh, man, fortune teller that flower yeah. thing. I would yeah. do that now with my son if I remember how to make the
paperclip one pissed people off because,
hey,
like,
I got your life hack. I promise you that's on YouTube somewhere,
sure
a tutorial.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The trick is to remember what the hell it's called.
Yeah.
No, the little
flower.
Oh,
thing.
That thing? Oh,
the fortune teller thing.
This is terrible radio because I can't describe what the fuck I'm talking
it's
about.
It's like a flower you hold with your fingers and you open and close it.
And you find out
and it's
like
an origami flower that's bigger.
I remember
that.
And
it's
a fortune teller.
I know that's a frog, actually, in origami.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And it's like fortune
teller. I'm pretty sure the girls would make stuff like, I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you. Then they'd come up and be like, all right, pick a color. Now. Yeah,
That was
pick
a special
shape.
Keyshawn model
right.
that they put on.
Yeah, pick a
color,
shape.
Number.
Color,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pick a
model.
I don't like you. And then they'd show it to me, and I would cry. And go home, and I would add some more women to my list.
Wow.
my binder of brides.
Yeah. I remember it got to the point.
This is getting creepy now.
It got to the point where it was just like,
getting
we would have to look. We were looking.
Research.
You know,
R&D.
Who are the ones that are, you know, coming up? What's the next generation? We're looking at books and magazines, you know. Who are they?
It's
we,
like
you
searching
know,
for domain names.
Kelly Kapowski's and all those.
Oh, I think
know.
The word is stalking. I believe that.
Oh, yeah. Stalked the entire planet, man. That's ninth grade. You got them right.
You know... this is just what 13-year-old boys do.
Yeah.
That's
not exactly what
we
they
asked
do.
If we were building our podcast, so
it's totally what they did. That's absolutely.
Yeah. And frankly, it's healthier than what kids, 13-year-old guys are doing now, because now they just act more
Twitter.
Freely, and they're just like, hey, let's do anal. I'm 13. This is like, oh, God. No. Please no.
No lie.
So, yeah.
Don't do that, America.
This is comparatively wholesome.
Yeah. This is the memorized list of women, if I ever met, would be mine. I've never had the problem.
I really want to know what the hell this flower thing is called. Ask your wife. She'll know. Never this minute, but.
She wouldn't know.
I guarantee she will. She was a child once?
Yeah, but they didn't have paper.
They didn't have paper.
They were in a smaller town like, than we were.
Was it like Little House on the Prairie? They had chalkboards there? Yeah. I don't understand.
Dudes, see, like,
do you know what to call it?
Yeah, there's a whole Wikipedia article on it. It's a fortune teller, also called. And here we go.
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna save the best one for last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
you tell me which one applies to your experience.
I will.
Whirly bird. No. Salt cellar. Like cellar, cellar.
Okay.
Chatterbox. And then the one, the. And by best, I mean most embarrassing, the cootie catcher.
I've actually never heard any of those.
Wikipedia has all of these. Fortune tellers. Just a paper fortune teller. It's an origami thing.
Fortune teller sounds actually like the most.
Yeah. There's even a diagram on how to fold it.
Hot dog.
Wikipedia,
oh, fuck
baby.
Yeah, I'll make one.
I don't like you, Keyshawn.
That's okay.
You know how old it is? It's at least since 1928.
Wow, I would believe it. I mean, that's when the spiral notebook was invented. So,
right around the time Harems were invented, I remember.
No, they are much older than that. Yeah,
offended every Turk listening to this podcast. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to call that guy tomorrow
and just rehash.
Hey, who did you have?
No, she's mine.
Just create. You should create something on Google Drive and just.
I know how vicious
this
is. This is my best friend in life. Like, is my best man in my wedding.
Okay.
And
oh, okay.
I remember how viciously angry he was at me that I got Amy Grant first. That's actually why I remember her on the list more
than. Did he get Debbie Gibson? Actually, that's only fair.
I don't know, but there was the other one.
You guys could share Madonna.
There was Tiffany. Nobody wanted Madonna. I don't think any of us did.
Wow.
Didn't want any disease that she carried. That was the thought at the time.
That's incredibly pragmatic of you.
Yeah, at 13.
as Caleb Building goes. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've left no one unoffended. Yeah. It's been an epic podcast.
That has been filled to the brim.
Things will be filled.
Things will be filled. And were.
Keyshawn Xavier, it was educational.
I'm updating the list, ladies!
Ariel Rodriguez of Kung Fu Conversations. I'm sorry.
That's all right. As the Russians say, I'm sorry and you're sorry.
That is fantastic.
So big week coming up on a Kung Fu Conversation next week. The episode we'll post the week after, but we're interviewing Hidon Gracie, one of the main Gracie family members promoting Gracie Jiu-Jitsu out in the world. So got a big get as an interview coming up this week. It's very exciting. We spent an hour making sure our phone audio setup was perfect for that interview next week, because it's a big deal. He's a major martial arts celebrity.
Holy shit. Yeah, I even know who that is. Yeah. I don't know shit about shit.
I want to know who his four childhood crushes are, though. You need to address
that.
That
may not be
accurate. Tiger style.
Let's see. I crushed a guy named Jimmy. I crushed a guy named James.
Yeah, Hidon isn't much of a crush kind of person, but he is, you know, very prominent member of the Gracie family. So
wait a minute, there's a Gracie family member that does not crush people.
Yeah, their art is actually not centered around crushing people at all.
I saw Royce Gracie destroy people. That's, he tangled them up Hoist, until they.
Hoist doesn't
is
crush
that Royce?
People. No, it's Hoist. They're Brazilian. It's written with an R, but it's pronounced.
I thought
Hoist.
The words of House Gracie better. Were crush them. No.
Huh?
House Gracie's.
There's no house.
No.
Yeah, there were, but that was, boy, oh man, talk about back in the day, because that was when they were still trying to, like, all right, I'm gonna get this big giant wrestler against.
Yeah. But he wouldn't crush them. He'd wait for them to gas out and then choke them out. That's Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. It's less about crushing.
You say that, but their body was bent in a way that
was that's not
horrible.
Crushing them. That's,
I don't know. To me, for the
take
unprofessional,
it from me.
Oh, I'm saying from the unprofessional, it looked like an anaconda just. You know, and it was, so technically they were choking to death, but it was a full body bind of horrible, horrible things.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting martial art.
Cool.
So we'll be,
I look forward to it.
That is get. Awesome.
Big get. Yeah. So, Hidon Gracie.
What next episode number will that be, do you know?
That will be episode 79.
I think. Reboot.
Reboot? No, we're not rebooting.
Good man.
Crisis of Infinite Kung Fu.
You know, warts and all, it just continues on. The train continues.
Yeah, you follow the One Piece model. Fuck Marvel DC, 1.1 bullshit.
Yeah, there are no 0.1 episodes of Kung Fu Conversation.
I have been Cyrus Mortizavi. You can listen to this podcast and other ones like it at fullofsound3.com. We'll also be at iTunes. This has been 2 hours, and... copyright 2015, Rising Infinite.